WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. We are back with another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A winner's edition from the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals out there in St. Louis at Gateway, and what a race it was. We have got the winner, so if you're a new listener, a first-time listener, an NHRA fan who was out there on the net clicking on links and you found this one, well, I think you're in the right place. You're going to enjoy the show. Why? Well, we've got the drivers, baby. We've got them on this show. Guess who we got? We got Courtney Force. First female funny car driver to win back-to-back races, Courtney Force. First time ever a father and daughter have led the points in funny car, first and second. First time ever, that's cool. Winningest female funny car driver ever as of this moment, Courtney Force. Second in the point standings. We're going to hear from Courtney on this show just minutes from now. Stick around. Also on the show, after two races, it was like they were done. Except now they're back. Antron Brown and the Matco Tools team win the race. Tony Schumacher loses first round. They gain a ton of points back. What are they thinking? Do they feel they're still in this deal? We're going to hear from Antron Brown just minutes from now. Antron going to be on this show, talk about his final round victory over Sean Langdon. Great racing for Antron and Top Fuel. We're going to hear from Antron. Then Dave Connolly going to be on the show. Back-to-back weeks. We heard from Courtney on last week's show. We heard from Dave on last week's show because they won in Dallas, and they won again. Dave Connolly charging hard. We talked with him at the start of the year, said, Dave, this is your best shot to win a title. He obviously agrees and is going after it. Dave Connolly going to be on this show just minutes from now. If you love pro stock, stick around. In pro stock motorcycle, hashtag NHRA PSM, Jerry Savoie wins his first race ever. A first-time winner, the Alligator Man. What an emotional victory. Everybody down there on the starting line going crazy, cheering for him. Even the Vance and Hines guys came over and were high-fiving. We're going to hear from Jerry. Trust me, folks, you don't want to miss the interview with Jerry Savoie. Very, very cool. And that's going to start off a triple shot. It's Tuesday, right? The show comes out on Tuesday at 7 p.m. We got a triple shot Tuesday of first-time winners because we've got first-time Pro Mod winner Mike Knowles. We have got first-time Top Dragster winner J.B. Strassweg on this show for three in a row first-time winners, first-time national event winners on this show. And then we're going to go back to last week, Robert Height, John Force, talking about Goodyear and Tire Rack together, how you can get tickets to an NHRA event. So that's the show. At the tail end, I'll even tell you about me going racing this past weekend. That's the show. It's a huge show. We got all the winners. We got everybody. And we start them all off the same way with the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, who joins us now. Alan, how are you?
Joe, I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. What a race it was this weekend.
It was a pretty amazing race. Great weather, terrific fans. Actually started Thursday night before the race with the Fan Fest in downtown St. Louis. I don't know if you're familiar at all with Ballpark Village, which is pretty much just what it sounds like, almost attached to Busch Stadium. But they have an entire couple of blocks of area down there of sports bars and restaurants and even an outside park that are all part of the baseball stadium neighborhood. With the Cardinals being out of town this week, they let us come in and borrow it, had some race cars on display, started with a Fan Fest down there, and I think there were 30-plus drivers that were down there doing autographs, and just a tremendous experience from top to bottom.
It looked like a great crowd on television, and I don't know official numbers by any means, but I remember watching and seeing the screen, looking up in the stands and seeing a lot of fans very interested, very engaged at many events this year, certainly from halfway point on.
Well, I've been saying it since the Winter Nationals. Give us good weather and we'll take care of the rest. And the forecast coming into St. Louis was mid-80s and no rain. And the weather was mid-80s and no rain. And we took it from there. You know, the fans came out in droves. There are a ton of NHRA fans in that part of the world. And they came out, they supported their track, and they saw a whale of an event.
So many close races. We're going to go category by category and talk about the round-by-round and the winners. There's a lot of sub-stories. We're halfway through the countdown now. But just unscientifically, I saw many 0-0-something margin of victories.
Well, both sides of the racetrack were in good shape. We saw good runs on both sides through qualifying. It was very apparent very early that you could win in either lane. There wasn't a huge issue with, you know, we better have this one, we better have that one. You know, it started right the first round of Top Fuel. All the cars with lane choice were picking the right lane, and about halfway through, everybody went, you know what, change our mind, let's go over to the left lane. That's the way it was all day. You certainly could make decent runs out there, but there was also a pretty defiant number, I guess, or a pretty, I don't know exactly how to word it, but, you know, it's almost like, okay, you can go out there and run 80 or 81 in a top fuel car, 380 or 381. If you try to go 378, you're not getting away with it. So you go up there and you put your 380 up and you hope your driver does his job. And it was just a very interesting, Antoine Brown said in the press room, it was one of the days when he wasn't really that concerned about, I better go in shallow and save lane choice. Is that if it needed to roll it in a little bit, felt like it'd give him a better chance of winning the race, he was doing it because lane choice wasn't that big an issue.
That is very cool. Let's talk about it, starting in Top Fuel, where Antron and Sean Langdon make the final round. AB comes out with the win. But I thought it was kind of cool that Kyle Wurtzel goes out there from the 15 qualifying position in their, what I imagine is their first race, or understand to be, against Richie Crampton and wins. That's cool for a young team.
Oh, they were as excited as if they'd have won the whole race. They also were chosen as the best appearing crew, so they already were kind of pumped up about coming over and their first experience in the NHRA. And then when you get around the U.S. Nationals champ in the opening round, that's obviously a big one. You know, Terry McMillan taking down Tony Schumacher. I mean, Terry beats the Sarge for the first time ever and then breaks his two-race winning streak, and all of a sudden that points battle is right back wide open again, and now it's who wants to take the most advantage of it. That ended up being Antron, but Doug Coletta with some rounds as well. Steve Torrance didn't have a bad day. It was just top to bottom. There was interesting stories going on, great racing going on. It was a fun day to be at the racetrack.
And as you mentioned, Tony Schumacher going out first round doesn't erase in any way winning the first two races, but it does prevent a runaway, and drivers like Antron and even Doug, where you might have thought yesterday they might have been out of it if Tony Schumacher did something spectacular, they're not out of it.
Well, we have seen before when the Army team gets rolling, gets a little momentum, they can be just very difficult to stop. And so the fact that they are now, at least the momentum was broken for this week, if nothing else, that gives everybody, you know, I don't know if encouragement is the right word or if, you know, new hope. If you're playing whatever game you're playing, you know, if you're playing a football game and you're down 2 touchdowns, you might start moping a little bit. Well, if the other team fumbles, all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're right back in this. And you got to put your game face on and get back after it. And I think that's what some of the teams did, watching the Army team stumble a little bit. And no disrespect to Terry McMillan. He went down, made a nice run, went down the lane, did what he needed to do. But it was just a matter of, you know, the Army car going out and overpowering the track, smoked the tires through the middle, and that's what opened the door for Terry McMillan to take him out and then for everybody else to start making some ground in the points.
Top five drivers, Tony through Doug Coletta, separated by 87 points. Some other points of note, though, things I was a little shocked at. Steve Torrance, 0-14 against Antron.
Can you believe that?
No, can't.
When I was looking through the stats when those two were getting ready to match up, I thought to myself, well, that can't be right. So I went back and double-checked, and Doug still came up 13-0, and that really still can't be right. And, yep, that's definitely it. And then on a day when, you know, Steve Torrence looked like he had the better car, had been running very well, and looked to be in the driver's seat, so to speak, Antron goes out and straps an 035 light on him or whatever it was, and beats him on a hole shot. And that's one of those, you know, that's one of those that'll start getting in your head after a while. When you go up, look at the guy on the other lane and just start going, oh, geez, and that can take you out of your game.
Absolutely. It was a stunning statistic. And, you know, I believe it now since it has been confirmed. But my goodness, just it's weird that it happens that way. And, of course, Antron and Sean Langdon in the final round. AB with an 046 reaction runs 384, 4 at 315, wins the race. We're going to hear from Antron just a couple of minutes from now. All you fans of Antron, hang out. We got AB queued up in the green room. Now over to Funny Car, Alan, where Courtney Force, first female to win back-to-back in Funny Car. I know we in the sport of drag racing try our best to view racers as racers, but this was a first.
It's actually the first time that she's done anything after winning a race, which was another very, very surprising statistic. In Dallas, she picked up her sixth national event win. The previous five times that she has won the race, she's gone out first round at the very next event.
Wow.
So coming into St. Louis and just picking up the first round win, you know, at least broke that string. But the Traxxas car is running very well. Ron Douglas has been working closely with Mike Neff and the guys on Robert Height's car. You know, they actually built a new chassis that is a identical clone of Robert's car so they can share information and help each other. You know, if you look at the early part of the summer, it was pretty obvious that Mike Neff and Jimmy Prock, John Force's crew chief, were working very well together and sharing information. And maybe that wasn't necessarily transferring over to the Traxxas car, but I do believe now that they feel pretty comfortable and confident and have a handle on it, now it's the time to go ahead and get their third teammate involved. You know, you keep, and I don't believe it's in any case like, well, you know, we're not sharing this with Courtney. I think it was more like, they've got a good combination that's working. Let's not mess with that until we know for sure this is better. You know, let them keep doing what they're doing. They obviously were running well. You know, Courtney went out in California and having, so instead of getting all three cars lost, if we're going to experiment, you know, you need to have a test case you can go back to. Now that they're confident with the new stuff that they've been doing, the new combination, then now's the time to bring the third car into the fold, and Ron Douglas and Danny Hood seem to be pretty comfortable with the new combination right now.
Robert goes out first round on a hole shot with low ET of the round.
Yeah, you know, at your sponsor's race.
Brutal.
It just gives you an idea how difficult it is out there in Funny Car right now. You can't take anybody lightly. You can't ever go up there and relax. You know, when you look at the qualifying numbers and the top, what, 12 or 14 or something, or within a tenth of a second, it's just nuts. You know, when Lowy T is 402 and Tim Wilkerson at 411 was 13th or 14th, I mean, you know, you go up there at any point and aren't having game on, have your game face on and be ready, you're going to get taken down. And that's exactly what happened to Robert. You know, as bad as he felt about it, as he always does, he just dove right back in, trying to help the rest of his team cars, both John and Courtney, and see if they could possibly close the deal, and it worked out for Courtney.
CBS Sunday Morning had a great special feature on the Force family and also NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing that I thought was great. I don't imagine you got to see it because you were at the track, but the social media started happening, and I ran and put on the TV, and I thought it was great. It's well worth trying to find and watching online because it obviously featured John and family, but it also featured the sport of NHRA drag racing. It was great. But the way I'm looking at it is a new audience of people were perhaps introduced to John Force and his family racing in the NHRA, and then that night they put on a Titanic show having to race in the semifinals, John versus Courtney, with championship implications on the line and Courtney winning on a hole shot. Alan, tell me about how that run was received live.
It was received very well live. And, you know, not to make it sound at any like the fans would be rooting against John, but, you know, Courtney, even though she's been in the car for a few years now, she's had some success, as you mentioned, you know, now seven national event wins. She's still kind of the fresh new face, and you're still rooting for a force. It's not like, you know, when John lost, all right, well, that's it. You know, the Force family can't win anymore. You know, you still have the most recognizable name in the sport going forward, and the fact that it was a great race. You know, that is, Courtney in the press room, it was kind of interesting in the press conference afterwards. She said, you know, I wanted to get even with Dad. He beat me down in Charlotte. I owed him one. He had one coming. And she said, as soon as my win light came on, I almost felt bad about it. You know, he's leading the championship. He's the reason that I'm where I am today. Am I really the one that wants to go out and take him down? But then you go back to, you know, hey, that's why my sponsors pay me. That's why I'm here. That's my job. And, you know, but she really did have mixed emotions about the whole thing. The bottom line, it was just one more tremendous side-by-side run that the fans got to see. You know as well as I do, especially the last few years, you've been to enough of these events. If you run race after race after race where the outcome is pretty clear by the time you've gone the first 150 feet, there's no excitement in it. But if the cars are both still on the throttle, flames up, wide open when they get to the finish line, and you don't know for sure until one of those scoreboards turns on, that just makes for so much more an exciting day for the fans, for the announcers, for the people watching on TV, for everybody. And this was one of those days that we had way more flames up run to the lights than any other type of runs.
It's interesting. I have to think, and we'll have more time in the future to think about this, but the father-child legacies, you know, Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr., and I'm thinking about Mario and Michael Andretti and Richard Petty and Kyle Petty, you know, the legendary father, and then the child that follows in the footsteps. In those other sports, there's not the head-to-head competition that we see where Courtney is forced, literally, to take the victory, to wrestle the mantle from the father. As in those other sports, there are other racers that are getting in the way along the way. The head-to-head, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Mario Andretti, Michael Andretti, Richard Petty, Kyle Petty, head-to-head battles were always kind of muddied by the other racers involved. That's not happening right here in drag racing.
I think the best example stays in drag racing, and that's Warren and Kirk Johnson. At one point in time, they were arguably the two best cars in pro stock, and they would run head-to-head very regularly, oftentimes in final rounds. And you know, they would certainly each try to help each other, but when it came to, okay, I got to race you, you know, the invisible fence went up, and it turns into, all right, now let's find out if, you know, if the student has learned enough to take down the master. And we saw just, and again, some tremendous side-by-side runs from them, where you know there was more to it than just, I hope I get the trophy, because it was you had the family dynamic playing out as well.
And then Courtney in the final round has to go up against Hulk Hagen, and if there is a racer that is more invested in his driving in terms of his health, in terms of his intensity, I don't know who it is. And if someone is going to stop Courtney Force, Matt Hagen wants to be that person, and she's able to put together a better total package and beats him by just a couple of thou. He was first off the line, but she went a 409.4. Wins the race. Courtney Force goes back to back.
She's on a run right now. The question, obviously, will be how long can she keep it going? And will John be able to get back in the winner's circle? Or will Robert bust out of, you know, the little, I don't know if slump is the right word, maybe mini slump the last couple of races? Car's been running very well, but they just haven't gotten a whole lot to show for it. You know the Schumacher cars are going to be tough. There's just so much stuff going on out there right now. Three races left to go, and I'm looking forward to each and every one of them starting this weekend.
Top four in points in Funny Car, separated by 91 points. Fourth place, Robert Height. In pro stock, Dave Connolly wins back-to-back, beats Jason Lyon in the final round, gets through a 3/10,000th of a second run against V Gaines in the second round, takes out Erica in the semis, and all of a sudden it's looking like the potential that was this Gray Motorsports team 6 months ago or 8 months ago when the season started is potentially becoming a championship reality for Dave Connolly if he can keep it going, as you say.
They're definitely getting hot at the right time. You know, that's four consecutive wins now for Gray Motorsports, going back to Shane Gray winning Indy, Jonathan Gray winning, and now two in a row for Connolly. You know, they're getting hot at the right time. I asked Dave point blank in the press room after it was over with. I said, look, we've seen people in the past keep their secret weapon, you know, and put it on the shelf and set it aside until the countdown starts. Are we seeing any of that here? And he said, no, absolutely not. He said, we've been running as strong as we could, as well as we could the whole time. It just took some time for us to get to where we wanted to be and where we are now. He said, the fact that the results of all that hard work is starting to show up and starting to pay off right now is what you're seeing, not, you know, some top secret engine that's been under the bench that we just didn't want to bring out until now. So, you know, it's a long ways from over. I think that the rivalry between Dave and Erica, I'm looking forward to having it heat up a little bit, and I hope that those two end up going head-to-head a few more times before the end of the year. You know, Erica comes into St. Louis on a two-race winning streak in St. Louis. She was the defending event winner from 2012 and 2013, and a big deal was made about that. And in the press room, Dave Conley said, you know, yeah, everybody's talking about that. He said, but I feel like now I've won this race 3 years in a row because he was the crew chief on the other two. And, you know, I believe his statement was, I know Erica's not going to like this, but the way I see it, I've now won this race 3 times in a row. And you can certainly make a strong case for that. But, you know, the two of them, as Erica said earlier in the season, don't speak anymore, don't socialize at all. So where that goes down the road, you know, and hopefully they run head-to-head. It won't be near as much fun if they go the last 3 races of the year and never go head-to-head. But Erica Ender Stevens goes in number one qualifier, low ET of the first 6 rounds, 4 in qualifying, first round, second round, and then the thing goes out there and turns the tire square in the semis against Conley. You know, who knows what might have happened, but I know what did happen. What did happen is the red car went home and Conley went on to win the race.
It was good to see Erica elevate to that 14 reaction time against Dave. She had a 14 against Larry Morgan in the first round at a 32 second round, and she goes up there, hammers the tree, leaves first. It is unfortunate that the car did not go down the racetrack. Who knows what kind of a great race we would have seen, but she is sitting third in the points, 67 out with 3 races to go. I do think it is going to get very interesting as time goes on. But Dave and Jason in the final round, that's very interesting because that was a 40-point swing. Runs like that, it's not 20 points a round. It's really 40 points because Jason wins and you don't get the points. He gets them. It's a 40-point swing.
No, you're exactly right. You know, it's I got the points that you didn't. And Dave talked about that a little bit afterwards. I bumped into Jason, just dumb luck, at the airport Monday morning leaving St. Louis, and he was not really down, but a little disappointed that they didn't get it done. He said, you know, we had an opportunity. We didn't make a great run. He said, you know, not in any way, shape, or form saying, you know, oh, we could have crushed those guys. Our car's fast, and but we think we left some on the table. We know we had an opportunity, and we didn't do it. So now it's the matter of next time we get that opportunity, we need to be sure that we capitalize on it, and that's what they're already focused on. You know, that one's over. That one's done. That one's behind us. Let's make sure that next time an opportunity comes up, we are in better position to try to take advantage of it. So it's just going to be, you know, again, like Funny Car and Top Fuel, it's going to be fun to watch. There's a lot of really good cars out there right now. There's a lot of very hungry drivers out there right now. And anybody knows you can make one little mistake and end up losing yourself a couple of spots in the points, and you're running out of time to make up for it. So, you know, as a rule, Redding is a really good, really fast pro stock track. Would somebody be able to set the record, which is 20 points, if you can get it done? Time will tell, but it's going to be fun to be there this weekend. I just hope that the weather's nice. I hope we get all 4 qualifying sessions so everybody has all the 4 shots at it. And, you know, we'll see where the points are when we leave Pennsylvania next week.
In Pro Stock Motorcycle, a very popular victory, a first-time winner in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series, Jerry Savoie. Jerry is going to be on the show. Dave is going to be on the show as well, folks. If you're tuning in for Dave Connolly, Dave will be on the show, talk about his win. But, Alan, Jerry has been knocking at the door, came out here a couple of years ago, elevating their performances. This year had to miss a race to go back to tend to the family business. Goes out at the U.S. Nationals, comes up 1 round short, then gets the job done out there at Gateway over Andrew Hines, a great racer. Jerry has a 0.05 reaction time. And it looked like, as much as everybody wants to win, it looked like everybody was happy for Jerry.
Yeah, that was a very popular victory. It was not in any way, shape, or form a surprise victory. You know, when Steve Johnson won Gainesville. Most people call that a surprise victory. Jerry has been running so well as of late. Everybody knew it was just a matter of time. And getting it done here, you know, the time finally was right. He had an interesting take on things in the press room. He said in the past, when he had gotten to the final round, he kind of gotten mellow and calmed down, and he's like, wow, how about this? We're in the final round. We've had a great day. And his whole race mentality just kind of went out the window because he was, you know, felt like being in the final round, he had accomplished so much. And this time he said, I'm not doing that. You know, being in the final isn't good enough anymore. We've been in the final a few times, a couple of times this year. Now we need to win the race in order to consider it a great day. So he kept his race face on. He kept, you know, his adrenaline up. He kept, and it certainly showed in the numbers in the final, the 00 light, and the performance of the bike was enough. And as you mentioned, even the Vance and Hines guys, it was the closest thing I've ever seen to a Coletta mosh pit when there wasn't a Coletta car winning, with all of the pro stock racers, all of them standing on the starting line, rooting for Jerry. And Jerry also had what I thought was a very interesting observation in the press room when I said something to him about, you know, beating Vance and Hines and all of his competitors up there congratulating him on the deal. And he said, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Vance and Hines, pro stock motorcycle would not exist. And Jerry gets his engines from Vance and Hines. He was very complimentary about the fact that, you know, these guys that are in the business of racing will sell me enough horsepower that I can go out and beat them. And he said that says a lot about their integrity, says a lot about their company, and was very complimentary of the guys at VNH. But it was a fun deal. It's been a while since a non-countdown contender has won a countdown race. So that was kind of cool. And Jerry also said in the press room, I'm looking forward to seeing what he says to you, but he said in the press room, you know, I've said for the last 2 years, if I could ever win a race, I'd just quit. He said, well, I lied. I'm going to Reading. And obviously to laughs and jubilation from the press corps, but good popular event, great guy, you know, has spent a lot of time, has spent a lot of money, has paid a lot of dues, and now finally for the first time gets to take home the trophy. It would not surprise me a bit if he wins another one. That bike is running that good right now.
They are running well, and he mentioned as a little prelude to what we're about to hear from Jerry in a few minutes from now, he wasn't originally going to go to Reading, but obviously now they are going. And something that people are talking about, I want your perspective. We've had this conversation in the past. What I consider the last major numerical milestone in the sport of drag racing, pro stock motorcycle, 200 miles per hour. Is that something we should be talking about, we should be previewing, we should be thinking about? They have knocked at the door. They have been on the doorstep in the past. If we get good weather, these bikes, they run quick. Jerry ran 198. Obviously, Vance and Hines and even Hector Jr. has been very close. Could we see it?
Yes. If the weather is correct, if the weather forecast in Reading comes through, if it's cool, if it's crisp, a Friday night or Saturday morning, it certainly is possible. And it would not surprise me in the least if it's Jerry Savoie that does it. The Harleys have a lot of power. They are not particularly aerodynamic. And if you look at them, you know, you can just see the big square air scoops, the different stuff. They are not as aerodynamic as some of the other bikes. The Buells may be a little more aerodynamic than the Harley, but still the Suzuki, I believe, has the best aero package. What the Suzuki hasn't had lately is, I don't know if I want to say the power, but at least somebody that has the right combination to make them run like this. And right now, Tim Culligan, who is the crew chief for Jerry Savoie, looks very comfortable with his combination, the way he's tuning the bike and what he's doing. It would not surprise me a bit if Jerry's the guy that breaks that milestone.
That would be huge. It is big, big deal, and we are talking about it here on WFO Radio. Alan, great job as usual. Any final thoughts? I know Pete Farber tagged the wall and Pro Modified. He posted that immediately on his Facebook page. It looked, obviously, equipment was torn up, but it looks like Pete is okay. Mike Knowles is going to be on the show. First-time Wally winner for him and Pro Modified, the blown money car that is gorgeous. We've got J.B. Strassweg, top dragster winner. We've got a full boat here on the show this week.
No, it was just another tremendous weekend, you know, top to bottom. The sportsmen guys and gals that come out there and battle it out week in and week out, it was a fun night. You know, we ended up running a little bit later than we meant to Saturday, was originally scheduled Saturday to get everything back on schedule, but then Sunday was just a nice, clean, smooth day, and it was just a fun day, top to bottom. There was a lot of great racing going on, a lot of I don't know if I want to say surprises, but it was just a typical race where you come and you sit down and become entertained. I almost like when we don't have the alcohol cars at the track, because without having to run back and forth to the TV compound four or five times during the day to take care of the Lucas Oil show, which I'm very grateful that I'm working on, so please don't take that as, hey, we can get somebody else to do that. But it was nice to just be a fan when the top fuel cars and the pro stock cars got done, you know, to hand the microphone over to Nate or to Mike, and then sit and watch and enjoy the sportsman racing, because I don't always get to do that. So it was a fun day for me. It was a terrific day for the competitors. Jason Kenny hadn't won in a long time. Picks one up in Super Gas. You know, Joe Santangelo, I kind of busted Arnie Martel's chops when I saw him. Joe Santangelo was driving up a couple of his cars, and you know, Arnie and I are very good friends, and I said, hey, dude, really? Santangelo? You serious? I said, I'm just doing the alphabet in my head here, but A for Allen comes before J for Joe, or R for Reinhardt comes before S for Santangelo. How'd you get him on the phone before me? And, you know, he mumbled something about skill and ability, but Santangelo closing the deal in Arnie's Super Stock Camaro was a pretty neat deal. It was just fun racing from top to bottom. It was probably the first time, not probably, I believe it was the first time ever on a national event stage that a car that was a finalist for the Riddler Award won a Wally, and that's the top sportsman car that was out there. So fun weekend. It was just a good deal top to bottom.
Well, that is awesome. I'm looking forward to another great one this weekend. In Maple Grove, you already mentioned the records, the track, one of the great tracks out there. I'm hoping for a lot of WFO radio listeners to come out. I will be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody in the NHRA. It's going to be great. My final race as an announcer this year, so I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm hoping for like a game-winning RBI to just end it. What do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Jeter style.
That's worked. Yeah, work for Derek Jeter might work for you. I'm looking forward to being there too. I'm not particularly looking forward to the trip because of, you know, airline logic, but once I get there, I'm sure I'll have a good time.
Excellent, excellent. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Travel safe. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And I love the race recaps, but I like being there better, and I will be in Reading this weekend at Maple Grove. Legendary, baby. Legendary. Now, we've got a huge show. We've got Courtney Force. We've got Antron Brown. We've got Dave Connolly. We've got Jerry Savoie. We've got Mike Knowles. We've got J.B. Strassweg, top dragster driver, first-time winner. You're going to love him, by the way. Plus, last week on Ignition, we had John Force and Robert Height on the show at the same time. A lot of great news, great information, plus I asked them questions about each other. All of that is going down on this show. If you're an NHRA fan, tweet, retweet, repeat, share our links, tell your friends, let them know there's a cool show about it. Look, if you like NHRA drivers, I'm getting angry at you now. I'm like angry. This is the show for you. But we need your help getting the word out, because all the drivers are right here. It is going to be very, very cool, this show. And I went bracket racing this past weekend. I'll tell you about that at the tail end of the show. All that is coming up. Courtney Force is going to be first, following that big CBS show on Sunday morning, and then winning the race back-to-back for the first time. Courtney's up next. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser. Go to frankhawley.com. Been a sponsor for WFO Radio for a while right now. You can call them 866-480-7223. And what I try to explain is that you can drive a dragster. You don't have to just be content sitting in the grandstand. You don't have to be content with a 12-second car, because that is all you choose to invest in at this moment. I get all of that. But Frank has got a program called the Dragster Adventure. You can even side-by-side drag race with another person who is on the Dragster Adventure. They are booking right now for Fontana, California, October 9th and 10th. Now, don't get me wrong. They do the licenses for Super Comp and Super Gas. Maybe you're a bracket racer. You want to get better. You want to figure out, well, what is it that I am not doing that my competitors are doing? Maybe you want to get your top alcohol funny car license. Maybe you want to experience this. Maybe you've got a sales team or a group of clients or a bachelor party, and you want to do something special that you'll remember for the rest of your lives that is different from what everybody else does. FrankHawley.com. Go on the website, learn more about it, or give them a call, 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. I heard those guys talking about it. I want to learn more. Where are you coming? Are you coming near where I am? How would I get there? Because they're traveling the country with this program. And it is one of the coolest things in the drag racing world. Big block Chevrolet, behind the roll cage, you're in there, helmet, protection, suited up, by yourself, racing the car, and they make you feel comfortable traveling from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, reaching speeds of 130 miles per hour on the quarter mile. That is what you should be doing. If you're a fan, you will experience what the drivers experience, and you will love it, and you will call me, and you will email me, and you will tell me you loved it. 866-480-7223. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Graduate Courtney Force is coming up next. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's eagle is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
He joins us now. John, welcome back to WFO.
I laid in the burn center. I burnt my funny car up years ago, and they took me to the hospital that night. And when I showed up the next morning, my car was ready to run. And they put a piece of junk back together. We didn't have a lot of parts. And we went out there, and we won the race.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Halfway through the NHRA Mellow Yellow Countdown, it has been so exciting, and we have some interesting dynamics developing, things happening. And if you are a new WFO Radio listener, if you're an NHRA fan, checking in for the countdown, doing some internet searches, well, you have come to the right place, because you're going to hear from the winners. We've got Antron Brown and Dave Connolly, Jerry Savoie, but we're going to start off with the Funny Car winner, the first female driver to win back-to-back in Funny Car ever, Courtney Forrest joins us now. Courtney, welcome back to WFO.
Yeah, it's good to be back. How are you doing?
I am great. It seems like not long ago we were talking in the winner's circle over ice cream at the Texas Motorplex, and here you are back, back-to-back wins for the first time. That is tremendous.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting for, you know, our Traxxas team. I think, you know, we've got this thing turned around at the right time. I mean, going into the countdown, I mean, I couldn't ask for, you know, a better team to be working on my car, a better crew chief. And right now, a pretty good car that we've got. So, you know, I'm excited that we've been able to pick up a back-to-back win at the right time in the season and making our way, you know, moving on up in the points. I think we're right behind my dad now in the number two spot. So I'm really excited, but just hoping to keep this thing rolling.
I'm always thinking about how to grow the sport of drag racing, because I think that benefits everybody. It benefits you and your dad. It benefits Antron and his crew. It benefits me with WFO. If drag racing becomes big and more popular, everybody wins. And I was watching that CBS Sunday morning special. They must have shot that a while ago. I saw a lot of it was from Seattle and whatnot. Sunday morning, about the Force family, your dad, the three girls, obviously you, Brittany, and Ashley. And I thought to myself, that is great. Like, that is one of the best things I have seen on the sport of drag racing in the mainstream media. And then, to drive the point home, you go out there and win the day it was on. So there was a lot of Force exposure this given weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. It was great for CBS to, you know, do a piece on us like that. I thought they did a really great job, you know, piecing everything together and really getting a good story from it. You know, getting a little behind the scenes look with my family, but really explaining the sport of NHRA and doing a pretty good job with it. You know, I know it's kind of hard to learn sometimes about our sport when you know nothing about it, but they really dug in there and did a good job of kind of expressing what our sport's about and you know, how our family's involved in it. So it was exciting to watch. It was really cool to jump in and you know, I ran in to watch. I missed the beginning of the show, but I got to watch the rest of it because I was warming my race car up, getting ready for race day. But it was just cool to see and just for CBS to take a piece like that and you know, get such huge exposure, not only for our family, but for our sport of NHRA. I thought was really exciting.
And vice versa, because I have never watched CBS Sunday. I just don't. I'm always watching something else. But I put it on in this case, and I saw a bunch of nice other stories about the football kids, the Mighty Mites, who couldn't run through the banner and whatnot. Like, I enjoyed it. So I think it worked for them in reverse as well. Now, you mentioned number one and two in points. First time ever a father and daughter have been one and two in the points, I hear.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm definitely savoring the moment because you never know if things are going to change. I mean, the competition right now is so fierce. I mean, it's tough out there. Everyone is so close together in the points. I mean, just sliding up and down. It's, you know, I don't know if it's going to stay this way much longer, but it's definitely cool at this moment to say that I'm right behind Dad in the points. It's a very surreal feeling, but it's an exciting moment for me for sure.
Let's go round by round and talk about your day out there at Gateway at the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals. Started off running Bob Tasca the third, obviously another Mustang, to go through Bob with a 410 and then have to run Del Worsham. Tough competitors first and second round.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we got qualified in a top spot, so it was kind of nice to have lane choice out there in the heat. But yeah, going up against Tasca, we made a pretty solid pass. The next round, I mean, anytime going up against Worsham, it's, you know, you never know what they can bring to the table. They've got some good cars, those Coletta teams right now. They've really pulled things together this season, so anytime going up against him, I mean, I was just up against him the weekend before in the finals, so I knew that they had a good car, you know, week after week, but we were able to take home the win there and go on into the semis.
When you are thinking about, or maybe I guess the better way to ask it would be, do you think about like how the countdown is working? We're thinking about, well, there's 12 rounds left now, just 12 rounds to determine the winner of the season. And every round you get an opportunity to get another one. But once you're eliminated, that's it. And so every race is almost a back against the wall moment. For instance, Del Worsham, if he had beaten you in Texas and beaten you second round here, he would be in a totally different position based on just those two races. So what we're seeing is like this really dramatic moment where everybody that is able to advance stays alive some way, shape, or form, and everybody that loses is drastically damaged by that defeat.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much the points are, you know, so close together. And yeah, I mean, one round can totally just make you drop a few spots. And winning rounds will obviously, you know, shove you right back up to the top. And with Dad going rounds, being in the number one spot, and then have his car doing so well and going rounds, I mean, it's hard to catch up to the number one guy. I mean, I'm just trying to go around so I can, you know, gain points and stay up there. Cause if you go out first round, I mean, that could be, you know, championship hopes over. So race after race, I mean, it's going to be tough. With three races left, even within qualifying, I could move up or down on the ladder. So, I mean, it's really close together. It's really tight. But you got to just stay focused and have, you know, a good team behind you and you know, really have to get your game face on as a driver and not make any mistakes, because anything can change just in one qualifying pass if someone gains those three extra points over you. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a little bit nervous right now. I did move up to number two, but I can just as easily move back down. So we're really just trying to keep our focus for Traxxas and for all of our sponsors and just hope to continue this momentum, you know, right there in Reading this weekend.
Tell me about the race against your father. Clearly, the most well-known, winningest, most championship-winning driver out there, John Force, who is trying to just win his next, win another championship. He's got that competitive drive. And, oh, by the way, he's your dad. You got to deal with that at the same time. You're trying to win your first. To get your first, you're going to have to stop him from winning 17. He's at a point in his life where every championship could very well be his final championship. You're at a point in your life where you need to win one to taste what that's like and only one person can win, and this round that you are about to run, semifinals, is a 40-point swing. Either he gets the 20 and you don't, or you get the 20 and he doesn't, and that could mean everything for this championship. Tell me about getting ready for that run, and was it like the other times you had run your father?
Yeah, it was tough going up against Dad because it's a semifinal race, but, you know, I looked at it as, I'm going up against someone who's the points leader, and if I ever want to, you know, catch up to him or pass him, you got to take him out early. And we had the opportunity in the semis. Obviously, he had a good car; he was running right there with me. But you know what? I was looking more going into that race. I was looking more at, well, do I want to try for lane choice in the final, or do I just want to kind of roll in a little bit and just go after that win light at the other end? So, you know, that's kind of the thought process going through everyone's head when you're going up to race someone. And I made that mistake when I went up against him in Charlotte. I learned my lesson quick. You know, I was like, you know what, Dad beat me in Charlotte, took me out first round, the first race of the countdown, and that was exactly what we didn't need. So going up against him this week, you know, I rolled in a little just to try to get a little bit of an edge, and it worked for us. You know, we actually beat him on a hole shot, and I felt sick to my stomach after because he is my father, but for my team and for my sponsors, that was exactly what we needed to move up in the points to where we needed to be. And it was a big round for us. And after that, I mean, we went on to take home the win, but, I mean, that was a huge round going against my dad. I mean, for anybody that was trying to go after a championship this year, I think they were all probably rooting for me to take out the number one guy.
Huge round, huge run, signature run, perhaps, of your young career, depending on what happens in the remainder of this countdown, but en route to back-to-back victories, when the spotlight is brightest, whole shot victory, winning by just thousands against your father. The word is that the crowd just erupted after that race because it was so tremendous. But then you're faced with Matt Hagen, who has been a nemesis of your father, of everybody he runs. He's the beast out there. He's Hulk Hagen. A tremendous athlete, a great personality. He's trying to build his own fan base. He's the next generation, just like you are. He's trying to win a championship, just like you are. In the CBS program, you said yourself, the car doesn't know who's driving it. I couldn't think of a better opponent for you to have race against and beat than this muscle guy, athlete, farm boy, baling hay, driving a tractor, Matt Hagen. You go toe-to-toe with him, you win the race, making the point that you started the day making.
Yeah, that was a huge round for us. Anytime that you go up against Hagen or any of the Schumacher guys, like I always say, it's always going to be a tough round. You know they're going to give you a run for your money, and we just had to play the game right. Lucky for me, my team gave me an amazing car all weekend, a consistent one. I mean, honestly, we went down the track, I think, on every pass. So that's exactly what you need, and I needed to be on my game to be able to get that win. It was so close. He was running so good. You know, I really needed to be on my game with the tree, and I mean, I think he edged me on the tree a little bit, but, you know, if I would have had a bad light that round, you know, the day would have been over for me, and I'm just glad that we were able to kind of have the full package and able to take home that Wally. But, you know what, my guys, Ron Douglas and my brother-in-law, Dan Hood, I mean, they gave me a good car, and I really couldn't be any prouder to be the driver of it.
30 points behind your father for the championship lead. Matt Hagen is right behind you, 12 points behind. Then a small gap, who 91 points out of the lead, is Robert. He is 61 behind you. And it's starting, as you mentioned, if a first-round loss can take the leader from the lead to the middle of the pack in one race, depending on who wins what where. But with three races remaining, heading to Reading, what are you thinking about? Wow, I'm so close. I'm right there at the start of the season at the Winter Nationals. If you'd imagine you were 30 points out of the championship lead with three races left to go, I would imagine you'd be really, really happy about it.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy, but I'm also very nervous. I mean, there's three races left, so much can change, and you can't make any mistakes right now, and I'm, you know, the pressure's on. I mean, it's crazy. I just got home last night, and I fly out again in the morning. I mean, I got to get into Reading early. I've got appearances, and most importantly, I have a race to focus on. I mean, our championship dreams are within reach, and I think this is the closest we've been throughout my entire funny car career. So we're definitely in a good spot right now, but we really, really need to keep the momentum going. And, you know, I'm just hoping it all pans out okay for us. I mean, we need a good car out there in Reading, but everybody's going to be fast coming out to that track. I mean, the conditions are going to be cool. This is the one track where everyone is out there setting records. And I just sure hope that we're one of them, because that's another amount of points that someone could take away from us just by setting a national record. So anything can happen in Reading, but definitely hope that our Traxxas team's on our A game, and hopefully we can go some more rounds again this weekend. But we just got to take it, you know, round by round and keep our momentum going throughout qualifying and continue to gain those points.
You seem to have a good perspective on the way to do it, that it's been laid out. You can't win the championship in Reading, but you can certainly lose it. And going round by round and getting 20 points at a time is the way to get the job done. Courtney, thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Great to see it happen. The fact that you are in the mix battling for this championship. We'll be watching for the next three races. I'll be out there myself. And as you said, Reading, the weather is going to be great. I know you ran some huge numbers there last year, so we are expecting to see big things in a great race. Congratulations on becoming the first ever to win back-to-back in Funny Car, and once again, the winningest female Funny Car driver. I know you got bigger things on your mind, though. Good luck. Go get them. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Courtney Force with us here on WFO Radio. How about that, young lady? You can go back into the WFO Radio archive and hear interviews with Courtney from the very beginning of her career, talking about getting in these cars and making test runs and just the way it all went down. And now she is battling her father for a championship. Her father and Matt Hagen. Her father, Matt Hagen, Robert Height, Ron Capps, Tommy Johnson. All in the mix, depending on what they do. After Reading, we're going to have a really good idea about who is involved in this championship. Very, very cool to watch Courtney out there mixing it up. And if you didn't see the CBS Sunday morning program, the feature on the John Force racing family, it was very well worth it. I know that there are a lot of people that love drag racing, that want to see the sport grow. This is exactly how it will grow. It was a very informative, positive piece that showed the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing in a really positive light. What more could you want? If you're the casual observer who didn't grow up around drag racing or cars, and you're flipping through the channels, watching various programs and pieces on CBS Sunday morning, you might become interested. At very least, if you see it later that night on TV, you might watch a little bit. And then Courtney goes on to win the race. We had other winners, though. For instance, Antron Brown is going to be up next. Those guys catapult themselves back into the championship discussion. A first-round loss by Tony Schumacher, a win by Antron Brown, and just like that, they flip the script and are back in contention. We're going to speak with Antron. We're also going to speak with Dave Connolly. And we're going to speak with Jerry Savoy. Jerry is going to be on the show. We had Jerry on once before a long time ago, but this is his first Winners Edition appearance on WFO Radio. I can't wait to talk to Jerry because they have been working so hard. Jerry and Tim and the whole team over there. I like to check in with them every time I'm out there, and they have broken through. Can't wait to hear from Jerry Savoy on this show. And then later on in the show, an encore presentation of an interview we did last week with John Force and Robert Height that aired on our Ignition show from Goodyear and Tire Rack. We got them together. I asked them about each other. I thought that John maybe broke some news, or at very least said some things that I hadn't heard him say. And that's why you have to listen to all the WFO radio shows. You have to listen to Ignition. You never know exactly what's going to get said when, if you want to get behind the scenes. Plus, they're going to tell you how to get free tickets to see the NHRA. So that's going to be at the tail end of the show as well. So we got a lot going on. Now, on Ignition this week, I'm going to be talking about my own racing experience. That's right. I went drag racing this past weekend. I went bracket racing at the Miami Hollywood Speedway Reunion, brought out my 78 Trans Am. If you follow me on social media, you saw me out there racing. I'm going to tell the whole story, but that comes on in Ignition. That is the WFO Ignition subject matter, along with NASCAR and Formula One on Nitro. People want to hear professional Mellow Yellow Series racers talk about their victories. You can hear about me ham and egging it on Ignition. That's the way we do it. But hey, it was a great time. That is for sure. Coming up next, Antron Brown going to join us, talk about his great victory out there at Gateway. The guy just has it figured out at this racetrack. And I know we got Antron's guys, Mike and Red, they're in the truck as we speak, probably listening, towing somewhere, moving somewhere to make it happen. All right. When we come back, Antron Brown, but first I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, huge drag racing fan, was at our WFO Radio tweet-up out there at Billy Myers Texas Motorplex. Got to meet Marvin face-to-face. Got to bring home some WFO Radio blend and some habanero endorphin booster hot sauce. And Marvin went around to a lot of the racers and was talking to them about WFO and whatnot. I thought it was very, very cool. And I'm sure you've been hearing all about the coffees and the A26 spice rub. A26, that is a plane that Marvin piloted. Well, you can get on board with it now, too. 817-924-6821. That is the number. Pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Marvin, send me something good." Marvin does various coffees from around the world. Over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus special custom blends like WFO Radio. They're all specially grade coffee that represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. One of the guys out there, Matt, who Bobby Graham brought out, he's like, I'm a coffee snob. He brought so much so, he brought his own filters, he brought his own machine in the car to the racetrack. So you know he's going to be calling Marvin. All the coffee is roasted for your order. So when you call and ask for some WFO Radio blend, they're going to roast it up right then and ship it out. They have limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots of coffee that they buy farm direct from the grower. Some farms only produce 10 sacks of coffee a year. So I know you're thinking to yourself, well, I love coffee. Well, you need to try some of these exotic coffees, like from Jamaica or the Sumatra Kopi Luwak, which I've tried, the Panama Geisha, Australia, Puerto Rico, the Hawaii Kona, and Maui coffees. They've got them all. That's Rodax. Go to the website. Either go to WFOradio.com and click the banner ad, or go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Pick up the phone, 817-924-6821. Tell them you heard it on WFO. Hey, Marvin, they're talking about you on WFO. We want some hot sauce. We want some coffee. We want some spice rub so we can hunker down because it is fall and your last chances to grill are coming. No, man, you can use it inside. Use it in the oven as well. Over the course of the wintertime. 817-924-6821. Do not miss out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Antron Brown coming up next.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Race 3 of the NHRA Countdown is in the books, the AAA Insurance NHRA Midwest Nationals, and it's time to get into it with the winners. That's right, if you're a first-time listener, this is where you hear the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series winners, like this man, Top Fuel winner, Antron Brown, joining us on WFO. AB, welcome back.
Joe, it's good to be back, my friend, like always, brother, like always.
The start of this countdown, not how you would have drawn it up on paper, but you guys were able to really turn it around and put yourself in a fighting position with three races left to go.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it was that I don't know what it is, man. It just seems like the first few races of the countdown have been pleasant to us in the last few years, you know, and this year we just struggled, man, with all the rain delays and everything else, and then just not qualifying in a good position to take advantage of first round. And we had to race our teammate Spencer at one race, and he ran low ET a first round, took us out. And then next race, we felt like we had a good chance against Sean Langdon back there when we raced Dallas. And we went out there, and our car was running good through qualifying. We got it running like we wanted to on Saturday. Then we felt confident on Sunday and left on a tree, and then we dropped the hole. So we dropped the hole, and he went out there, and he won that round. So that took us out there in this race here. We kind of collected all of our stuff together, and we got out there in the top half of the field and qualified like we knew we needed to get lane choice for first round. But it didn't make a difference at St. Louis, man. I tell you what, Curtis, Francois, and all of his staff over there, Chris Blair, he did such an excellent job over at that racetrack, just keeping it right and tight where lane choice really wasn't a factor. You could pick any lane and go right down it and be very competitive in it. And that's the way a countdown race should be. You shouldn't have to come down to lane choice. It should not be a one lane track. It should be a track that you can go out there and you can win from either lane. And St. Louis definitely provided that to us out there. And that was great to see.
Let's talk about your round by round. It didn't start off easy on this one either, though, Antron. Talk about tough races. You got to go up against Brittany Force, who is poised on a victory. It could happen at any time. And also coming off a DNQ, so with vengeance in her heart, that's a tough first-round matchup.
It was a very tough first-round matchup. You got to remember, me and Brittany raced each other in the final round at a few races this year. You know, that car is definitely, it's right on the edge of dropping a bomb and winning the race for sure. I mean, they've got the performance. They can run this as quick as anybody else. And Brittany is definitely hungry in the cockpit of that car where her lights have been right there where she could win races, man. She's been doing a great job. And that's not somebody I really wanted to see first round. But I mean, now in Top Fuel, Joe, as you can see, man, every first round's like a final round now, man. It's just a tough round matchup no matter who you got. And if you look at it, you can see all the front runners like Doug, myself, Langdon, all of them. In the last couple first countdown races, we were losing first round. So is anybody's race out there, and then they go to the second round out there, and then I raced up a line against Terry McMillan. He took out the sergeant, took out my teammate first round. So he was out there hungry, starving, and he threw it in there on me at the end, and we both left even off the start line and pretty much went down the track, and we just got better of him because we went A to B, and we actually ran low ET a second round, and we weren't taking him lightly at all. And then we just moved from there to go to the next round and actually just to go out there and line up against Steve Torres, who's in contention to literally go out there and he's challenged my teammate Tony for the points lead. So We did a good job of taking him out in the semifinals, and it was no easy task because he dropped the 81 on us, and we snuck around him out there, got a little bit off the line, and we brought the win home there, and then we had to race Langdon in the final. I mean, it was like all-star matchups all day long, and that's what's making this NHRA Mellow Yellow Racing so exciting right now is that every round's a tough, brutal matchup that you have to come out there, and you got to give your A-plus game to get the job done.
Absolutely. Watching you and Doug and in the first couple races go out and Tony win them both and take maximum advantage of that point situation, And then looking at this, and this is no disrespect to Terry McMillan and the Amalie Instigator in any way, because I know they are directionally correct and making a lot of great strides and finding consistency. But just looking at the ladder, I'm thinking Antron and Tony, second round maybe? That could be the way it goes. And suddenly the world is turned upside down. Tony is out. And you and everybody have an opportunity to gain back that ground. So it is very dramatic. You and Langdon in the final round, and that's a 40-point swing. That could be the person you ultimately win or lose the championship with. You know, that's what you guys did last year. And when you run one of your great competitors in the final round, you gain the 20 and prevent them from gaining the 20. That's a 40-point swing.
Absolutely, and that's where it's real crucial because we were thinking about that going into St. Louis. Like, we raced Langdon first round in Dallas, and you don't get too many opportunities where Langdon cuts a bad light, and he cut a 90 light against me in the first round in Dallas, and I forget what kind of light I had. I had a 50 or a high 40 or somewhere like that where I had him by almost 400s off the tree. And we looked at it, said, all we had to do was run an 84 to beat him. And we're looking at it, we're like, man, our car's on pace to run a 79 to 81, no problem. Just what Mark and Brian had in it, and we just had a hole that just didn't want to stay lit, brother. And it's just one of those deals that happens in fuel, and we're like, that was some monster points there. And then you look at the ladder you would have with Langdon where he raced the next round and he won a pedal fest with somebody else in the second round and made it to the semifinals, where all we had to do is go A to B the second round. You know what I mean? If that was us. And that right there, Joe, that's 60 points right there, man. You're looking at that, you're like, I lost out on a lot of points. But you have to win those rounds, brother, to get those rounds. And to get those extra 20 points in the final at St. Louis was huge, brother. Because no matter which way you tally it, I mean, there's only so many rounds of racing left. You're talking about there's 12 rounds of racing left that you can earn points. That's all you got. That's all everybody's got. And if you go out there and you can just put the pedal to the metal and you can win as many of those as you can, that's what wins championships. And I know that for sure. If you win, I know if you go out there and you can win three races at a countdown, that pretty much, that's what we did in 2012 when we won the championship. That's what helped us get us the championship by doing that. So Tony's got two of them so far. There's three more up for grabs, and if we want to do something, man, we just got to go out and attack each race just like we did St. Louis, and pretend like it's our last race to race, and see if we can pull this deal off.
How is it different going through now that you have been successful one time? You've went through the countdown a couple times. 2 years ago, you won it. You became a champion and gained that experience. Last year, you ran a championship countdown and just got beat. Sean was tough, put it that way, and right down to the final race. But how much are those experiences helping figure out what to do now and how to navigate it and when to stay cool or when to realize, like, oh, my goodness, this is the moment?
Well, what it's taught us, just like last year. I mean, last year is a prime example where we came back and we started challenging Sean for the championship, and we were nowhere to be seen for a little bit because we DNQ'd the first race of the countdown last year. Okay, and then we come in this year and we had a flop for two races, the first two races. We qualified, but we didn't win a round of racing. And what we learned is that you just can't get down. You can't let your last race define what the rest of the race is going to be, and you don't give up because you can go on any given moment. You can go on a three-race tear where you can win three races in a row and put you right back there and you can win the championship. You know what I mean? That's what Tony did to us in 2012, where we barely won the championship because we had some, like, stuff that we've never seen happen, like a fuel line break or a management box not work for a clutch management. You know what I mean? Where we lose first round when we're winning the first round. You know what I mean? So, and Tony came right back, went to the final, and then came to the last race and went to the final again. If he would have won, he would have beat us for a championship. So our deal is that you never give up. It's never over until it's over, brother. And that's to the last fuel car lights up, and the last time you go down a strip and you control your own destiny. And our deal is that we're hungry, and we want to end the races with wins. And we got six wins this year. We've never won more than six races in a year. We like to win seven or eight races in 1 year. There's still three on the table, and we want to go after them and see what we could do and see if we can make some history that way and also make some history and win another championship.
Always like to hear you talk about your guys, you know, Mike and Red. I know those guys are in the truck listening to this show very often, and I get to see how, through them, how hard most of these pit crew guys are working through the course of a weekend. If they are an example of what is out there, which I know that they are, all these guys are championship cloth. Mark and Brian and Brad and all those guys, they've been through it. They've done it. It seems like this team kind of has an attitude like we can still do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing about it is you never lose faith because we have each other. And that's the biggest thing at Don Schumacher Racing. And I think that's the biggest thing, not just for our team at DSR, but for all of our teams. I mean, you know what the coolest feeling is, Joe, that fans can't see and the people out there can't see because we're talking about all the guys and stuff like that? It's just all the other guys back at the shop, like our fab shop, our CNC shop. And then you go to our teams, like the top fuel teams, like the Army team with Mike Green and Neil and Phil, and the battery extender team, and Todd Okerhar comes in there. He helps out all the guys, you know. The coolest part is to see how all our teams really pull together this year and started working together. You know what I mean? Like, when our car was doing good or another car wasn't doing good, we'll come over and they can share information and we can help them out. They can look at things and learn from some of our stuff. Then when we're struggling, they were doing good. Whether it's the Army car or the battery or the new the red car now, the Red Max Life car, you know what I mean? So now we can actually see each other and help each other in the way we've dug in with each other. And I think that's what you have to do now, and we've learned that where what our teams have been so competitive this year in the funny cars and top fuel is by the way we all work together as one unit through our whole shop. And it's a testimony there with Red, Mike, all of our guys on our team, man. Chris, Kyle, Matt that helps out Mike, and then Brad, our assistant crew chief, and then Brian Shearhart does our short blocks. And we even have a guy named Dale from Western Texas Intern that's been digging in, working deep, and then Mark and Brian and myself. I mean, we all work together as one strong unit. And when the chips fall, we got each other's back, and then when we can't hold each other's back up, our other team's got our back. Like the Army boys came over and helped us this weekend between rounds when we needed help. I mean, that's just the way we roll over at DSR. That's what makes our team so strong and makes DSR such a powerhouse.
Headed to Maple Grove, Redding is the place where you ran the quickest run in the history of Top Fuel Drag Racing a couple of years ago. People are talking about the weather, that it's going to be cool, it's going to be cold, it's going to be perfect for big numbers. When you went that 70, I think everybody was floored, but it was also the next day, it was in the morning, it was very cool, it was almost perfect. But when you did that, on a normal weekend, a great run was like a 77, 78, mid-70s. Now we've seen the whole field kind of come down more often. We've seen a lot more 73, 74 runs. Antron, if the weather is right, could we see a 60-something?
Joe, you possibly can, brother. It depends on how tight that track gets. And the weather in Maple Grove, it's always there. And you make plenty of power up there. It's going to be who can ever get that setup right and who can ever hold those cars straight. Because when we were running those 72s and 70s and 71s, out there, like between Langdon and myself, we're going back and forth tit for tat. Man, I tell you what, those cars, brother, they were all over the place. You hear me? Because they were trying to put so much power to the ground. So, and Dougie's car's running good too. So, I mean, there's so many cars out there right now. And then, Crampton coming out there, and then Langdon, Allen, Ivy cars, both cars running. I mean, Tony's car's running phenomenal. Spencer's car can run the big numbers too, and Taurus's car's been flying. So, I mean, when we go out there, brother, you're going to see, and Brittany Force's car, she ran a 74 this year too. So, you're going to see probably a good 12 to 14 cars out there that's going to be capable of running under a 74. Then you're going to see a select handful that's going to try to bust out a 70 or 71. And then you might see a couple of them, you never know, if the weather gets right, showing a high of 63 for Sunday. But that's where you're on the line, where you got people running the countdown, Joe, are going to go, all right, do I need to run what I need to run to get a round win, or do I take a chance of blowing the tires off this thing and trying to break a world record? So that's one of those deals that you got to, it's hard to actually tread on that deal. You know what I mean? When we went for it, we went for it in the semifinals where we already gained some valuable points, and it gave us an extra 20 bonus points where we had nothing to lose in the semifinal round to run that 70. You know what I mean? And then we came up and tried to run a 69 in the final, but we blew the tires off right at the step of the throttle. So it's a little tready, man. It's iffy. It's one of those hard decisions you got to make and know what you're doing, and the time's going to be to do it is going to be first round of elimination. Do you want to take that chance to really go for it, or do you get the round once you go to the next round? So it's one of those deals where it's like a roll of a dice, man.
And that's why the crew chiefs get the big bucks.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. And the only thing us drivers could do is screw it up.
Now, Antron, when I first called you, you were mocking me for the long time it has been since the last time we spoke. You were mocking me a little bit, but that was cool. I like it. But let me ask you about one of the things that has happened since the last time we spoke, which is the return of Angel. I know there is a connection there. You obviously coming from Pro Stock Motorcycle, going up through Top Fuel, and she was such a fan favorite for a long time while you were on the bikes and then retired and wasn't coming back and is now back. What do you think about seeing Angel back out there?
It's awesome to see her back out there because you see the smile on her face. And she's only been back for two races, and she's right back in the thick of things. She's qualifying for races. Her lights are definitely right where they need to be. She just lost his last races last weekend by a 001 red light, where if it was green, she would have won it hands down, no problem. So the cool part is that she's back in the field, and it's like a baby learning how to walk. Once you walk, you never forget how to walk, and she hopped right back in it. And the fans are actually loving that she's out there. I mean, you could just see it. You could just see the motion around her pit, all the people walking up to her. Seeing her, I come up there and watch her run the bike, and she comes up there and watch me run Top Fuel. Her and my wife, Billy Joe, man, they're just like sisters, and they were just hanging out, bebopping around again at the racetrack with each other. And it's just so cool just to have just the family aspect of it back together. You know what I mean? And it's just cool where you got somebody that you can go talk to and relate to, where you can catch up and just hang. You know what I mean? And that's what Angel brings. She just brings that competitive edge. And the thing about it is, I think she's going to come back, and she's going to be here for a while. She's working on some deals where she can sustain herself and be out here for the long term. She's got her little baby girl, Ava. And that's what it's all about. It's all about the family, man, bringing the family back together and get out there and have some fun, brother.
That is exactly right. I am looking forward to having a little fun this weekend out there in Reading, Pennsylvania, Maple Grove. Antron, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio and giving us the behind the scenes of your victory at the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals. The countdown is still absolutely up for grabs, and the 2014 Mellow Yellow Championship, I know you'll be going for it. Thanks for coming on WFO and telling us all about it.
Anytime, Joe. Thanks for having me on, brother. And hey, I hope I get to talk to you a lot more before the end of this year, at least three times.
I told you, you decide that. it's all up to you. I just look at the results, and that's the guy I call. So I have a feeling it'll happen, but I have a feeling there are some other racers that are going to try to stop you, and that's what the fun is. So good luck, Antron.
Well, thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Antron Brown with us here on WFO Radio. And the way they have vaulted back into the points, Antron now fourth, 80 points back. Anybody could win it. There's three races to go. Here's the deal. Ready? I think, for the most part, anybody, and I haven't crunched these numbers. This is just me off the top of my head, just kicking around an idea. Ready? And I guess this could be calculated. But anybody that just wins all three is going to be the champ. That is unscientific. But you get the gist. A lot of people control their destiny. And Antron Brown is one of them. Just win the next three races. Now, that's a lot harder to do. Everybody is at their best. Did you understand and comprehend the level of close racing out there? It was ridiculous how close the races were out there at Gateway. I have a feeling we're going to see something similar in Reading, because guys are going to be trying to rotate the earth to get that record. Heard Ron Capps talking about Jack Beckman setting a record in Reading to help beat him in the championship. This is kind of cool. There's an opportunity for records out there, potentially. I will be interested to see who takes the shots or who gets down the track. Thanks to Antron for coming on the show. Always love hearing from AB and the Matco Tools guys. Obviously, we've got a lot of listeners on that team, and they have given me a lot of information about just the workings of what they do, like how it's what it's like to be a crew member, the hours put in. And I really enjoy hearing that kind of information from those guys. So congratulations to the Matco Tools team, Antron, and good luck this weekend. The final race of the first four races of the countdown. Then we'll have some time to reset, a couple of weeks, in fact, and think about what we have seen and what has to happen before the final run to the championship in Vegas and in Pomona. All right, when we come back, we're going to go into pro stock. Dave Connolly, back-to-back race wins. Connolly, the start of the year. You can go back into the archive and listen to the interview with Dave when the whole Gray Motorsports situation was announced. His best opportunity to win a Mellow Yellow Championship right here. And he's obviously making it a reality. Going out, win back-to-back races. Huge final round against Jason Lyne. 40-point swing. Just tremendous. Tremendous racing. 0.3 of a second against V Gaines. That's the kind of thing that championships turn on. Goes one way or it goes the other. And then Jerry Savoie. Jerry's going to be on the show. First time as a winner. We're going to speak with Jerry about that team. They have been pushing that Suzuki a long way and go out there and get the job done over Andrew Hines and the Harley-Davidson. Great guy. Can't wait to hear him in his first WFO Radio Winners Edition interview. Then later on in the show, it is an encore presentation, but you're going to want to hear it. Because last week on Wednesday, after the show airs, after it's all put together, we had the opportunity to get John Force and Robert Height on the phone together. They were in a conference room. They were conferenced together, looking at each other, basically talking to us about how to get free tickets through a promotion from Goodyear and TireRack.com that you might have heard of at this point. And I wanted all the WFO radio listeners on NHRA Nitro, this show, who don't normally listen to Ignition because you're looking for interviews. The John Force Robert Height interview was on Ignition last week. But we're going to play it again on this show because, of course, they should be on Nitro. And what they're talking about is valid through October 31st. And so you guys should know about it, too. A chance to get free NHRA tickets if you get some tires from TireRack.com. Select Goodyear tires. So I think you want to know about it. And I thought it was a great interview, too. The information that John Force put out there, I don't hear him saying in too many other places. I monitor not everybody else, but I listen to what's out there, and I hear what these people have to say. And I think John had some interesting things to say, but I'll let you be the judge. And that'll be at the tail end of the show when we come back. Dave Connolly, followed by Jerry Savoie, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Radio. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Nitro. WFO Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Hopefully all you listeners are checking in, maybe for the first time. The countdown is on. Just like that, we are halfway through the AAA Insurance NHRA Midwest Nationals, and it's time to talk to the Pro Stock winner. He joins us now after four in a row for Gray Motorsports, Dave Connolly. Dave, back to back. Welcome back to WFO.
Hey, Joe. It's always good talking to you at the end of a weekend. That means we did something good.
Absolutely. That's the way we position the show for the listeners out there, and I love the fact that I'm always talking with generally happy racers. Right at the right time, Dave. Dave Connolly showing up right at the right time. Back-to-back wins in the countdown. You have won more countdown races than anyone. That is an interesting stat.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, timing's everything, and especially in this sport, and, you know, it's all gelling at the right time. I mean, the time's kind of caught fire ever since the U.S. Nationals, and we're just, you know, going out there and trying to take each round one by one, and, you know, so far so good. We've kind of swept the last four races, which is huge for the team. It just, you know, I said it from day one when the team was established back in November of last year that, you know, they just had a very, very large pool of talent and all under the same roof, and it's starting to shine. So, you know, but in the same sense, drag racing can be a very humbling sport and you can go here or zero pretty quick. So we're just going to enjoy the time while we have it and, you know, just take it one race at a time and see how it all plays out.
Before we talk about your round by round and, of course, the points, the stat that just stood out with me, just having watched you on the top end talk about your win, you have tied Lee Sheppard in wins. That is a huge statement, and you said Lee Sheppard was your hero. Tell me about growing up watching Lee Sheppard drive pro stock cars.
You know, it is. That was you know, when Gary told me down there that he passed Lee Sheppard, that was you know, something that really, really hit home with me, because, you know, he was such a an amazing person, such an awesome racer, and you know, that was growing up as a kid. I mean, in the pro stock ranks, he was the man there for many years, and you know, a very unfortunate accident took his life earlier than expected. But he was he's on the list of people that I wish I, you know, could have met and just kind of picked his brain a little bit. From everything I've heard, it's he's very educated and just very low key person. You know, kind of kept to himself and just handled business. And you know, you gotta admire somebody like that.
Absolutely dominated pro stock for several years with the rare Morrison Sheppard Camaro, and yeah, taken from us way before he was done winning a ton of races. But now you are tied, and also you have closed the points lead that Jason Lyne was holding. That final round was really, really important. Let's talk about how you got there over the course of the weekend. Qualified fourth, had to run Chris McGahey in the first round. He is never easy. Had 27 reaction time. You still left first.
Yeah, it's again, you know, we had a pretty good race car, playing it pretty conservative through the first few runs, and then you know, got in the number four slot. And anytime you hook Chris McGahey, I mean, obviously, you know, that's Mike Edwards' old car. They have plenty of power. You know, very good team over there, and you just never know what they're capable of doing. They could. They can rip off a big number at any time, so it's again, you can't take anybody for granted. And you know, we tried not to there, and ran pretty well, and got by him, and then on to V Gaines, where the driver just completely fell out of the car and got a 60 light and won by triple zero. So that was a huge wake up call for me. It was you know, I felt horrible. I plugged it in fifth gear and looked over there and seen the big teeth off the front of that Dodge, and that's not what you want to see. And you know, I was shocked when my wind light come on, to be honest with you, Joe. It was felt bad. I mean, I got down on myself after that round, and I'm like, dude, you're racing for a championship. It's time to get your head out of your you know what and get up on the wheel. And we tried that, you know, from there on out. Had Erica in the semis, which again, she's right on everyone's heels. You know, tough team, was low for the round every run up to that point, and you know, as fate would have it, we got by her and on to Jason in the final, where you know, that's, I'm not gonna say make or break your season, but you know, obviously with only three races left, we didn't want to give up another round, so that was kind of a two for one. We had to take him out to stop him from getting points and to kind of close the gap up a little bit. So that was about as excited as I've gotten inside the race car on that wind light come on and quite some time. So it's just you know, again, the adrenaline and the rush of racing for a championship kind of get the best of you sometimes. So it was a huge win for the team, and you know, it's just we're still playing catch up, but it kept the option, the possibility of us you know, racing for a championship open, and that's all you can ask for.
The controlling emotions, dealing with the adrenaline, dealing with the moment is something I always like to ask about, because I think that there's something to be learned, frankly, to see people go through it. You mentioned the triple zero margin of victory against V, and the wind light came on, though. And at the end of this, in a couple of races, we might look back at that moment and say, wow, this championship could have turned on tens of thousands of seconds. How do you gather yourself up? You said you were down on yourself. What do you do to change your personal mind state, like from being down to, all right, that's in the past, move forward. You got to go up against Erica, who there is no one who wants it more right now. Obviously, got a very fast car. And then Jason, who is the points leader. How do you turn? You only have an hour to forget it, move forward, and be at your best.
You're right. It was, again, like I said, it was a slap in the face, a wake-up call. I mean, we've been there. We've done that. We've made good runs. I've hit the tree before. So, I mean, we know how to do it. It's just whether you go up there with the right state of mind and get the job done. And, you have to put what's happened in the past, because it doesn't matter if I was 005 the run before. That was last run. This is this run. So, I mean, it's kind of, you just have to go up there with the task at hand and clear your mind of what happened last round, because at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. It's just what you do in the moment, and that's kind of the approach we took on it. It's, we knew we had a tough competitor coming up, and we just had to get the car A to B and race smart and race hard.
The final round against Jason Line, you are currently 26 points behind him after the victory. Had you lost, as I understand it, you'd be 66 points behind. So when you say 2-for-1, it's basically you stopped him from gaining 20, and you gained 20, a 40-point swing. That makes a run like that just pivotal.
Yes, it did. And I think that's why there was so much excitement after that win light come on, because, there's a lot of racing left, but... Again, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're trying to make up 3.5 rounds on a guy like Jason Line. He's, that wasn't too long ago. He won 3 in a row, and he's pretty much been the car to beat lately. And, we're trying to keep this interesting and keeps our hopes alive. And, we had to dig deep to get that win. And, it was huge for us. Again, like I said, it was, just one of them rounds that we needed bad, and, everything happens for a reason, so I was just glad our win light come on.
Headed to Reading, Pennsylvania, Maple Grove, a place that is very friendly, not just to pro stock machines because of the air, but to you. It wasn't that long ago where we were doing a winner's interview for WFO up on the third floor of the tower. You were out there running. You won the race, so this is a place with some positive memories, a little good mojo for you. And this will complete this 4-race swing to start the countdown, and you'll have a really good idea of what needs to be done in those final 2 races after this weekend.
I like to think so. It's a different city, different state, and the racetrack's 1320 and black, so we gotta adapt to weather conditions. I mean, the field is so tough right now. There's so many cars capable of winning that. We can go out there in Reading and lose first round, or we can go out there and win the race. You just never know what's going to happen, and I think that's what, makes NHRA drag racing so excited right now. But we have had some luck there, obviously. Like you said, I actually remember talking to you, and I think Alan Reinhart was up in the tower.
That is correct.
The third floor there. So, yeah, I remember that one very well, and it was one of the few races we ran that year, so it was exciting, and another memory of actually winning the race on a Wednesday. I think, I don't know if it was back in 2007 or 8, but we actually won Reading on a rain delay on a Wednesday, and that was something that, I'll just never forget. So, yeah, we've had a lot of luck at Reading, and hopefully we can carry that over and, do some good out there, because it's, it's crunch time. There's 3 races left in that countdown, and, we're a young team, we're hungry, and we're going to give it our all.
For those that are interested, they can actually go back into our WFO archive and find that interview if they choose to go listen to how it all went down at that moment. Kind of cool. You can go back even a couple of years and hear that, folks. Dave, congratulations. Huge victory. At the start of this season, you mentioned that when you put this team together, we had you on right after, when Gray Motorsports kind of came together and the whole the Victor and Johnny and the merging and everything that happened, we had you guys on, and hearing you talk about it then, the from the potential standpoint, you knew that there was going to be big potential. Now to see you just 26 points out of the championship with four races in a row and cars getting down to the semis, Gray Motorsports machines, Shane winning, you winning, Jonathan winning, it is tremendous to see how this thing has really developed. Congratulations on all the work you put in. I know you got a couple races to go to really finish it off, but it's very entertaining so far. So good luck to you this weekend, and I will see you out there.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, we knew there was a bunch of potential with this team up front, but, you know, what I've learned over the year and in racing with these guys is they're just an awesome group of guys, and, you know, it's been more enjoyable than I could ever imagine. So, you know, if we can go out there and make some good out of these next three races and win a championship, great. And if we can't, you know, great. I still had a blast this year. So it's been a fun year, and, you know, I appreciate it, and I will definitely hope to talk to you again in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go. It could happen. That is for sure. It is entirely up to you and your team. Dave, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Connolly with us here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. If you're a new listener, subscribe on iTunes or download the WFO Radio app for iPhone, for Android. You can use a podcast catcher app. Basically, if you've got anything internet connected, you don't want to ever miss a show. When the season is over, we keep going. There's lots of stories going on in the world of NHRA drag racing, and our WFO Radio Ignition show continues on. So we'll entertain you right through the holidays, through the off season, Black Friday, all of it. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be fun. And we hope to keep you throughout the off season listening to the show. And to do that, you need to subscribe. We got a lot more going. This is a big show. It's getting bigger and bigger as we speak because we've got Mike Knowles, Pro Modified winner, first time winner, going to be on the show. Mike is going to join us and we're going to talk about his first time win after we speak with Jerry Savoie, a Pro Stock Motorcycle first-time winner. And you can go to hashtag NHRAPSM to see all kinds of great stuff. The Alligator Farmer from Louisiana going to join us next. And later on in the show, a few more surprises. Also going to hear from John Force and Robert Height. Going to come on the program, talk a little bit about how you can get free NHRA tickets courtesy of Goodyear and TireRack.com. So stick around. Remember, follow us on social media, download the application, subscribe to everything we've got, and like it. That's how you do it in the social media world, right? We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
First-time winners, always a cool thing we love doing here on WFO Radio, and we have got a first-time winner in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Been knocking at the door now for a little while and finally kicked that door in with a 005 reaction time in the final round. Joining us now, Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, Jerry Savoie. Jerry, welcome to WFO Radio as a winner. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's usually the Joe and Eddie show, and I'm glad to be a part of this. You know, Eddie's been running good for so long that every week you get him in there. So for me, I can't tell you how it feels. It's something that thousands and thousands of people wish they could do, and they live their dream through your dreams, and I'm glad to share it with everybody.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you about it, but you did bring up Eddie and his vast library of performances here on WFO Radio. Have you ever listened to him on this show?
I have a couple of times, and he's really professional, and he's really a great guy. You know, a lot of people don't give him credit for who they are and what they do for the Pro Stock Motorcycle Program. And I'm not saying that because I run Dancing Hounds Engines. Those guys are the heart of the industry, and without them guys out there and being so professional like they are, you know, we wouldn't be here.
That is a fact. And you're on a Suzuki, and you have broken through, and you have found the magic performance, whatever it is, that going back to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals and beforehand, you had been on a Buell for a while, then you started messing around with the Suzuki again, and I understand fuel injection is part of it. Obviously, there are some things that you are evolving and making work for you. You obviously feel really strong about the Suzuki, and you were able to push it through to win. Tell me about the switch a while ago from the Buell to the Suzuki, and what was the upside potential that made you make that move?
Well, you know, when I first started, I started with crew chief Mark Pizer, who's a great tuner and a great guy. And we were building our own engines and stuff, and had the old Schumacher stuff, and it made really good power. The problem was the crankshaft. So at the end of the 2009 season, Mark and I got together and decided, man, we need to try something different. And the Buells were coming on really strong, so we decided to buy a Buell from John Hammond. Crankshafts were the issue with the Suzukis. We couldn't get any parts. Vance and Pines was still in production, trying to put things together to build a good crank. But we didn't see ourselves racing that year. So we chose to go to the Buell, went out, and didn't do very well. It wasn't consistent. We'd go testing and run really well. We'd go to the track, and we couldn't swing it out of the park. So that winter, I said, if I ever have to run a Buell again, I'm quitting. And I'm not one to be a quitter, man. I've never quit anything in my life, and I've always set my goals and set them high, and I've always accomplished everything. And for this to happen is a great thing. But going back to the Suzuki, Vance and Hines, I had a talk with them. They agreed to take me on, build some engines. Terry Vance took me under his wing, and I want to thank them guys 100% for helping us out and giving us a good product.
I think there are a lot of drag racing fans and Suzuki fans out there that are happy about it, too, because we have now three different types of motorcycles out there running and having success in the NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle class. And the U.S. Nationals, you were knocking at the door. You were in the final round in a race that, in fact, Jerry, let me go back a little bit further to Denver. the race that probably was the reason that you didn't make the countdown. You were faced with a horrific decision. You had to choose between your hobby of racing, something that you're passionate about, that you love, that you've invested a lot of time. Your rig was there. Your guys were there. There was a storm. You had to leave. Tell me about that decision to decide, you know what? I got to go back to Louisiana for the alligator farm. I have to leave the track.
Well, for me as a rider in pro stock motorcycling, NHRA, to be racing at that time of the year is really stressful. From the second week of June all the way to the end of July, we were really busy harvesting alligator eggs. And what happened in that situation, you know, Louisiana is always vulnerable for depressions or hurricanes. And the weather was really good and everything looked favorable for not to have any development. So we chose to go to Denver. And knowing that we go to Denver, that we pretty much would get in the countdown if we ran halfway decent. I landed off the plane, and I had a text from one of my major landowners and said, hey, man, you need to look at the weather. So I looked at the weather, and I'm like, oh, shoot. So I called him up, and I told him, I said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in Denver. I just landed. My wife, my son, and my crew member, Jeremy, is here. Let me see if I can get four tickets. We'll get on back, and we'll try to put something together. So luckily enough, they had four extra tickets. We flew back to Louisiana, drove all night to Lake Charles, Louisiana, which was south of south of Lake Charles in a little town called Cameron. And went down there with 14 airboats and 25 people. My wife had been cooking food for 2 weeks, so we were prepared and picked up 30,000 in a day and a half, 32,000 and some change, and the landowner's happy, I'm happy, and, you know, it's all good. It's good for business. My son, when we left the airport, he said, Dad, do we have to go back? And I said, son, there's three most important things in our life. Number one in our life is God. Number two is our family. And number three is those eggs. If we don't pick those eggs up, we don't eat and we don't race. So we made a decision. It was all good. I don't have any regrets, no matter what happens throughout the rest of the year. Just need an opportunity to be back for many years.
Well, you have broken through. You were knocking at the door at the U.S. Nationals, rolling to the starting line against Eddie, who was on a mission. You win the race. You're in the countdown. You win the U.S. Nationals, and it is your first race ever to win. What was going through your mind in that moment that led us to this moment here that you did break through? Handling that situation seemed like just so much for any person to deal with.
Well, believe it or not, it didn't bother me, not at all. I never thought about if I don't win this round, I'm not going to come back. I just was so sincere and so happy to be in the finals and have a motorcycle that we could run and compete that it never bothered me. I mean, it bothered my crews and other people that wanted me to get in really bad. But for me, it was all good. And what happened in that round was the bike wouldn't start. And finally got the bike started. I had to keep it revved up over 3,000. And it started loading up. When I dumped the clutch, it just, you know, fell on its face. So, it's all good. You know, what a lot of racers don't realize, they all blame it on one incident. But Denver wasn't the biggest kicker. I mean, we struggled early during the year. We've had a couple of little issues along the way, a little wiring problem here, a little spark problem there. How do you lose? It's points. And just the round against Steve Johnson that we dumped it over in first gear and it quit running would have got us way in the points chain. So, you know, nobody knows but the good Lord. He's in control, and I'm just happy that we got one yesterday.
And that is how we got here. Let's go round by round with Craig Treble in the first round. Good to see Craig out there. You're the number two qualifier, though, so this thing is humming now, and you guys are finding consistently quick performances. In the second round, you had a 26 reaction. You go 686.5, and you took down John Hall, who John went 003, probably because he knew he had the lean on it. He went 693. And in the semis, you're going up against Hector Arana Jr. Let's pick it up there because Hector is a very tough performer, goes 19 on the tree. You were 17, Jerry, and you were a tenth quicker on the track. tell me about that round and then getting ready for the final round.
Well, you know, Junior and I have been going at it for 4 years now. And when he first came out, I knew his father had built him a really fast motorcycle because I was testing in Valdosta, and Hector came out right out the trailer, and he would have run in the 70s. He shut it off at the 1,000-foot mark, and the bike was flying. So he's been on a very fast motorcycle for 4 years, and he's won a lot of races, and it builds his confidence up. So, you know, he spanked me in U.S. Nationals in 2008. I had him out the gate, and he run me down and just blew by me, and I never forgot it. So he and I are really good friends, and we congratulate each other all the time, and he's a first-class guy. He came up to me in Sonoma, and he said, "Jerry, I'm not mad at you like the rest of these people," but he said, "myself." He said, "because I'm not tuning my bike as good as you guys are." And for another racer to say that to another guy that's running after him, you know, he's a first class guy, and I got a lot of respect for him after he told me that. But when I got up against him, nothing, man. I just calm and collective, and I knew we had a good bike, and it makes you more confident. And it was really funny because I went in first, and he went in, and I staged up, and he got on a two step to try to throw me a curveball, and I just sit there and I said, "Man, is he kidding me?" You know, and light come on, and we went on down the track and did our thing. But when we got on the other end, the first thing he did, said, "Jerry, I'm really sorry I did that to you." He said, "but I had to try something." He said, "man, you are really hauling the mail." So, look, like I said in one of the deals that we were speaking after the race, when you get on the line, it's dog eat dog. After it's all over with, you're best of friends. And that's what drag racing is all about, family and friends.
Absolutely agree. Final round, Andrew Hines. You started out by talking about Vance and Hines. Now you got to go up against one of the family, Andrew, who is just like that now, the points leader in the countdown, the way it has worked out, and the Vance and Hines bikes winning the first two races of the countdown, Eddie, the delayed Charlotte race, and Andrew winning out there in Dallas. And now you got to run him in the final round. You're not in the countdown. You're free to go out there and just let it all hang out. Without any additional pressure of points and whatnot, you go 005 on the starting line, but then you outrun him as well. Tell me about being on the starting line. Were you thinking about, this is my first win, maybe I could win it, do I want to win it, or were you able to do as they say you're supposed to do and just block all of that out and just do your thing?
I didn't think on the aspect of I had to win it and come out there and really hole shot him or anything. We've been creeping up on the clutch setup and the ECU setup on reaction time. We struggled early during the year, and I knew that was a problem, and I never had the confidence. When we got to Dallas, things finally started clicking together. We didn't run good in Dallas, but we had some other issues. So when I got up against Andrew, I was just very subtle in being in that position again, and I knew that sooner or later, if you get there enough, something's got to come your way. And I call him Mr. Cool. He don't even know that, but to me, Andrew's like Mr. Cool, you know. And he got up there, and he creeped on in on me kind of fast, because they usually a little slow about staging. He went right on in up there and kind of surprised me a little bit. But when you're confident and your bike is running good, it makes you look good. I didn't do anything I haven't done any other time. It was just a good race. When we got on the other end, I could hear him the whole way, and I didn't know if I was ahead of him or not, because I never looked over like some riders do. I was just focused on the other end. When I saw that wind light come on, man, I was the happiest man in the world.
I can imagine. You mentioned all the time, the effort, the years of work, coming on the scene. Basically, coming out of nowhere to run NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle and fighting and clawing your way, and then to break through and become someone who has won in the Mellow Yellow Series on the top end with Gary Gerald. G-Man, you were obviously very emotional on many different levels Was a weight lifted off of you? Was it something where now you have accomplished this? You feel like you have justified all the effort that you have put into it to this point?
Sure. All my life, any goal I have set, I've pretty much accomplished. And this is one I've been wanting for many, many years, at least 40 years. Terry Vance doesn't know this, but he was an idol of mine when I was a young man. I used to run a class called Ultra Stock, and I'd watch Terry and Byron, and Byron had that rag in his back pocket, and Terry would do a dry hop, and Byron pushing back, and him and Sid Poole were fighting to get in the 890s. They were running 9.0s and fighting to get in the 8.90s. So I remember all these days, and, you know, it's just, everything to me is in my heart. I was out there not for the money. We're not getting any money from anybody, and we're getting some oil from High Performance Lubricants and Mr. PJ, PJ1, great products, and, you know, Vance and Hines with the engine program, but my heart's into this, and I'm not out there to make a living. I'm out there to have fun and to show that not to everybody, but people do have dreams, and dreams do come true. And for me, to do this after not getting on a motorcycle for 32 years and to come out is a great accomplishment. It gives a lot of people a lot of hope that they could do the same. So, yeah, I'm very thankful. And you know, my father was a drag race fanatic, watched John Force and back in the old days with Don Garlick and Don Prudhomme and Caney from Hughes and the whole gang, you know. So it runs through my blood, it runs through my veins, and that's what keeps me going. I love the Need for Speed.
Jerry, congratulations. Thank you so much for sharing it with us here on WFO Radio. I always love speaking with first-time winners, but I got to say, you are really savoring the experience and sharing it with us in a way that I appreciate, because it does sound like it is coming right from your heart. But you know, there are 3 races left in the season, so maybe you could get your second win. What do you think about Reading, Pennsylvania?
Well, we wasn't going to Reading, and then we saw the weather. We think the bike can run in the 70s. We want to be the first Suzuki to go in the 70s. We might be putting our expectations a little high, and we don't want to hurt Harley Davidson's pride, but we hope that we could possibly be the first motorcycle to go 200. So I know that's a high bar to set, but with the conditions that are coming up in Reading, look out, man. It could be possible.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I've been talking with Eddie and Andrew, and whenever the conditions are close, I feel like that is going to be the final major milestone in drag racing, because top fuel cars are not going to go 350. They're not going to get to that point. The pro stockers, I don't think, are going to get to the fives. I don't think they're going to get there. The nice big round numbers. Pro stock motorcycle, 200. Been knocking at the door for a long time. So you think that this weekend could be it?
Yeah. I mean, we went 198 and some change in Sonoma. And we were not as far as advanced as we are now with the bike. We've learned a lot since Sonoma, tune-up-wise and timing-wise and fuel percentages and whatnot. And Tim Kalungin is a genius.
Yeah, tell me about Tim. I talk with Tim a lot, just kind of on the starting line. And seeing him navigate the way it's going, he seems to be the man with the plan right now.
Yeah, if Tim quits tomorrow, I'm done. The biggest thing about Tim, he's a very humbling person, and he has really deep feelings, and he cares about anything and everything around him, whether it be that motorcycle or people. And he evaluates things, and we tease him all the time. Okay. So the wind variation was 6.2 from the east, and the barometric pressure is 29.02. Therefore, I'm like, so, you know, we ride his ass all the time about the numbers game. But look, you go from track to track, you don't always hit the home run, but 80% of the time now, he can put all the figures together, and we're really close. So he's a guru, man, and I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for our team. And so Rick Elmore and Jeremy DeRoche, I mean, those guys, it takes an entire team to be successful. And we're just learning that. I've been told that for many, many times. You know, when Tim came on board, he said, look, you can make all the power you want, but there's a whole complete circle around that power. And it all has to connect and come together. And if it don't connect and come together, yeah, you can go out there and throw one out there once in a while, but you're not to be consistent. And I think this weekend we really showed a lot of consistency in our program and how it works. So you got to give them all the props. I'm just a button pusher. You know, I dump the clutch, and when the light comes on, I press the button like everybody tells me to, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There's a lot to it other than pushing the button. Don't sell yourself
short,
Jerry. Jerry, thank you so much for sharing your win with us here on WFO. I will see you this weekend, and if that milestone were to happen to come up, it would be a very, very big deal. I have been keeping my eye out for a while now. So you got me a little bit excited for the weekend just thinking that this could be the one. Jerry, congratulations. I'm so happy to have you here on WFO Radio as a Mellow Yellow Series NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle winner. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Joe. I want to thank Eddie for letting me be a part of his regular TV radio show, okay?
Yes.
We'll see y'all. See you.
Later, Jerry. Jerry Savoie with us here on WFO Radio, the Eddie Krawick, Andrew Hines segment. But Jerry has muscled his way in, and that's how it works. That's how it works. You earn your way onto the winner's edition of WFO Radio. You earn it by winning, and Jerry Savoie is a winner in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, hashtag NHRA PSM. That's the Pro Stock Motorcycles, and I love the guys and girls of that class. It is very, very cool. And he is a first-time winner and going to kick off three in a row on WFO Radio. First-time winners, because coming up next, we have got Mike Knowles, first-time pro-modified winner, followed by J.B. Strasweg, top dragster first-time winner. We're going to do three in a row, a triple shot of first-time winners here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. You know, at the Dallas tweet-up, I asked the audience, I said, guys, how long is too long for one of these shows? Because very often things will happen and we'll start out with two guests and end up with four and then six and then seven. And next thing you know, it's a really long show. How long is too long? And they all, to the man, 100% said, no such thing. We'll get to it. It takes us a little bit longer, but you're chewing up hours of boredom at work, at the mill, in a cubicle, in a truck. Whatever we're doing, we're listening to the show to escape, to hear drag racers talk about racing. Can't be too long. That is good for this show because we have got a long one because we still got Robert Height and John Force, the encore presentation from last week's Ignition show. Free NHRA tickets. How do you get them? You got to wait and listen. Plus, John says a bunch of great stuff. And then at the tail end of the show, I'm going to give you some information about my own bracket racing experience from this past weekend. That's right. I went racing. We're going to talk about it, but when we return, Mike Knowles and J.B. Strasweg are going to talk about winning their first national event, Wally, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called a champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFORadio.com.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in
and Redline Motor Oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It was a huge event out there at Gateway, the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals, and one of the classes that was contested and saw a first-time winner. We have a couple of first-time winners this week. You know, we've been covering Pro Modified as often as possible, and joining us now, a first-time winner in Pro Modified, Mike Knowles, a.k.a. Blown Money. Mike, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Very well, very well. Now, it's funny because I have got to call many different Pro Modified races over the course of the year, and one thing we always talk about is your car, the Blown Money Machine, because of the wicked paint scheme. It hadn't occurred to me that you were chasing your first win, which you cashed in on this weekend. How special was getting your first win?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, the biggest thing is really my family was there, and you know, they come to 99.9 of the events, but you know, you always have that fear of going out there and winning one of them, not being there. But you know, they had a flight that was supposed to leave at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and my wife Kim decided to change her flights, and the boys were there and everything, so it worked out really good. And it was just, you know, Tim McCamus, me and him are very good friends, and obviously he built the cars, and it's his home track too, so man, everything really, you know, just came together.
You ran Von Smith in the final round, but I want to start off just talking about the car in and of itself. You have the, I'll say it, the most spectacular paint job in the drag racing world. People, not just on your car, but on your hauler as well. What made you decide to go so over the top with a paint job on a Pro Modified car, which are known to occasionally encounter a wall here or there?
Well, I mean, even it's kind of a long story, but even back in the day when, you know, we were doing some drag racing, I had a Blown Altered, and we named it Blown Money. So the Blown Money deal goes back long before I started Pro Mod racing. And, really, we didn't have a pot to piss in. My buddy Bart, here in town, one of my crew members, he wasn't there this weekend because of, shoulder surgery, but, you know, he always painted them, and even if they were older cars, the paint jobs were nice, and we always just kept everything really clean, you know. We just, even if it wasn't brand new, it was clean, and when we showed up, you know, people always, you know, recognized that. So as we started Pro Mod racing, you know, it was just kind of fitting for the wild class. We started out with the 63 Corvette that Tim built me, and God, it's just gone from there, you know, and now we got the new Mob Edition Mustang.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, what about the $100 bills painted? We're going to talk about your win, I promise, but I haven't had you on the phone, and this is something that I have mentioned on the mic at the NHRA races many times, and people marvel at the fact that there are real $100 bills painted into that car.
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, that that comes from a guy in Texas, and you know, no one ever knew if they were real or not, and I've seen it. I said, you know, that fits you know, our name because we were blown money. You know, we just didn't have that. So when we first started Pro Mod Racing, we put them in there, and you know, it's kind of funny because everybody's like, oh man, you know, you got $2,000 in a hood, not realizing that you couldn't airbrush them for that. You know, and that's what's funny when everybody says, you know, man, why are you putting real money? Well, you know, if we're going to airbrush it, you know, it costs more than that, you know, per bill. So, we've been fortunate. It's kind of amazing. We've had three different painters for three of the different, Pro Mod cars, and they've all turned out really well. I do believe the Mustang is probably the most spectacular, but, they all turned out really well.
The Mob Edition is very, very cool as well. And, you know, to hear you say about the return on investment of painting in 2,000 real dollars worth of money, greenbacks, into the hood of your car, the amount of discussion that you have gotten out of it is probably way more than that because of just the discussion piece. If you had airbrushed it, no one would be talking about it. The fact that it's real money, it's a conversation piece.
100%. I mean, it wouldn't, yeah, I mean, you could airbrush anything on a car and it'd be like, oh, it's still a nice paint job, but that was it. But, I mean, we, you know, on the weekends when we're at these races, I mean, we got thousands of people come into our pits, and that's all they want to see. They just want to see them hundreds, you know. And, you know, it's neat to, you know, I'll be out there packing the chutes or cleaning the car, and people will come up and they'll start, you know, talking about it, you know, and I don't really, you know, butt in, and they'll talk about it, and then next thing you know, they're like, hey, those numbers don't match. Them bills look real, you know, and just to hear the different take. I mean, we've had some people are like, you know, just, you know, will not accept that they're real. No. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, they are. You know, there's probably been more hundreds laid on that hood than most banks. I mean, people are always pulling bills out and comparing it. It's fun conversation for sure.
Absolutely. It's money, it's Vegas, it's flaming chips and rolling dice. It is totally what Pro Modified is all about. Let's talk about the racing. After all, this is why we're having you on, because you won the race. First round, Stephen Whiteley, a young kid, smile on his face always. One of those had to get there first kind of races, and you were able to do it, upsetting the number three qualifier.
Well, and with that family, you know, that's a long story too. You know, I met Jim years ago. He had built a blown dragster, and they needed help with it. You know, we're neighbors. And
Grand Junction, right? The city of Grand Junction's got some cool racers out there.
Yeah. It's tough to race out of Grand Junction, but there is a lot of fast cars and a lot of racing out here. But so I tuned his dad's dragster. You know, we bracket raced and went to Bandamere and stuff like that for several years. And then when Jim started alcohol racing, you know, I was doing the clutch on and stuff. So, you know, I've known Jim and Steven for a long time, and, you know, obviously, you know, they got a good team over there and a lot of good, smart, intelligent people. But to go out and win that round, that was big for us and started the weekend off nicely.
Second round against Kevin Fiskus, been one of the very quick runners out there. The turbo cars are outrageous right now. And you broke off a 592.3 with an 052 light. He outran you by a thousandth of a second, but that run was not in question. You put together some good numbers.
Yeah, and Kevin, I mean, you know, there again, you know, just like Steven, a lot of these teams, you know, this Pro Mod deal is only a 10-race series, but a lot of these guys do so much racing and being out here in Grand Junction. I mean, we don't test like these teams and obviously don't hit a lot of the other events. You know, we pretty much just hit the NHRA events. We hit one PDRA race. And, you know, so to go to compete with some of these guys is tough, you know. And Kevin, he runs hard. You know, that was a good race. Of course, it was Will Harriet, the shutdown. I don't know if you've seen that picture, but he was within inches away from my car when he hit.
Did not see that photograph. I'm waiting for the TV show on Velocity.
Yeah, it's incredible. There was a weird turbulence in my car. It was so close to my car when the chute hit. The chute was rubbing on my driver's door, and it was rattling the window because of the turbulence.
Oh, wow. See, that's an aspect of these cars that we always talk about going fast, but getting stopped is just as important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you hit the chutes on a fully suspended car, you know, the big thing is basically hit it under power and you know, hold on, here we go. So it's a big part of getting these things shut down. You're absolutely right.
In the semi, you had to go up against Todd Tudorow. He had a 002 reaction time, but immediately had to click it off. You went 029, 594, 4 at 242. So you guys were both really amped up on the starting line. What was the story with that, Mike? Did you just know you had to bring it? He obviously was 002. Did you know you hit it and feel him move first?
Well, there again, Todd's another guy that goes all these big dog races, and this guy races week in and week out. And, I mean, he has a lot of runs. I mean, you better bring your A game when you're running those guys. And, I mean, he, you know, he's a great tuner, a great driver. And, I mean, I think running all these guys that we did made the win more special because, you know, all the cars are good, but, I mean, it's just, we race a lot of good guys, and Todd Tudorow, he's one of the best for sure.
Final round against Vaughn Smith, obviously, Dr. Moon's Rage, and, he outran you by a tick. You were so consistent over the course of the day. You went 593.4 in the final. You went a 94 in the semis. You went a 92 second round. So consistent 590 runs, low 590 runs is what got it done. But in this particular case, you needed that 029 reaction time.
Well, I mean, you go and you run a guy like Vaughn, I found it interesting. My first final ever was, I don't remember what year it was, but it was years ago in Vegas. And, we went up and Howard was tuning for Josh Hernandez. And, at the time, you know, we didn't have a lot of runs, and we go out there and I probably pulled, you know, rabbit out of the hat, and I'm like 025 on the light. Well, Josh is like 026 and they beat me by a few thou. So it's kind of interesting that I end up beating, you know, Vaughn and Howard on a hole shot, but that's another great team. I mean, they got a lot of runs, and I mean, Vaughn is just, you know, he's one of the best, you know, but it was good. You know, Tim McCain was coming up to me in the pit, and he's like, you know, just do what you're doing. Don't go pull anything heroic off. Just your lights are good all day. Don't change anything, you know, and that's why I went up there, and it was kind of interesting. I just, man, I felt calm, and you know, you always get the certain amount of butterflies, but it felt good going into it.
First career win in Pro Modified after a lot of runs down the racetrack. When the win light came on and you realized, wow, I won it. It's it. It's over. It's done. I want to hear about that moment, Mike. Tell me about the moment when all the pressure was off. You realized there was no more racing for the day. You were the guy.
Well, when I went through the traps, I'm like, you know, if you know anything about my life story, I'm like, I hope, you know, I should be the winner, you know. I mean, I crossed the finish line, but, you know, hopefully nothing silly happens, you know, because there are a lot of times you'll leave the line and you don't realize you went red or anything. So it really coasting, I had to shoot out coasting. I wasn't that amped up, you know. I'm just kind of like sitting waiting for somebody to tell me. And then as I turn the corner, you know, you get that big, you know, sigh of relief when they're like pulling you over and, you know, the photographers are there, because when we went to the final in Charlotte years ago, that was the worst thing ever. You come around, you get the car slowed down, and they're like, here, park over here out of the way. We got the winner over here. So when they guided me over into the spot there and I got out, it was, I'll tell you what, I got emotional, and we worked hard on this thing. You know, I keep this car at my house, and if it ain't here, it's at Tim's shop, and Tim puts a lot of time into it, and, you know, Bill Rice, my crew guys have been with me from day one, and you know, Bart wasn't there, but Phil, and, you know, we had Brandon Boer helping us, and, I mean, we've worked so hard on this thing. You know, this isn't full-time for us, and we move our schedules around, and, you know, like I say, the shop's at my house, and at night I'll go work on the car, and I do a lot of the work myself. For everybody that was involved, it was incredible. It really was.
Well, you've earned it. You deserve it. You put together a first-class operation. Give me something to talk about, certainly, because, believe me, I love beautiful cars, but beautiful cars that win are even better. Mike Knowles, thank you for coming on WFO Radio, talking about your Pro Mod win. And, hey, folks, if you want to relive it, starting October 5th on Velocity Network, you can watch the Pro Mod series. I believe it is Sunday at 1 p.m. on Velocity, beginning October 5th. So that's coming up, I believe, next week. You'll be able to watch from race 1 to race 10, the entire Pro Mod Championship series, and you'll be able to see Mike's win. That's kind of cool, Mike.
That is, you know, this series has come a long ways, and you know, there's a lot of good people involved, and we've all worked hard to keep the series going. I know NHRA's, you know, trying to help us bring it along, and sometimes it seems like a fight, but I know everybody's working together, and, you know, even years back, the people that have been involved with, you know, Tommy Leeper and them guys, and Roger Burgess. Roger Burgess put a lot of money into this program to keep it going. And you know, it's a great program. I think the TV show is just an added bonus for everything. And this class is growing, man. There's 30 cars out there, and there is 30 fast hot rods. I mean, this class is, it's on a roll. So it's great to be a part of, and the RPM, you know, the association there, all them guys are working hard. So it's fantastic.
Well, thank you for coming on WFO Radio and sharing us the inside story of your first whenever. I really appreciate it. Now go out and get another one.
Sounds good. We're headed to Vegas, so that's as close to home as we get. So that's our goal.
Mike, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Mike Knowles with us here on WFO Radio. Pro Modified winner, a first-time national event winner. We heard from Jerry Savoie, a first-time Pro Stock Motorcycle national event winner. I'm noticing a trend. We got a trend. We got two first-time winners on the show, but things happen in threes, so let's see if we can keep the ball rolling, and I think we can. Joining us now on the phone line, a first-time national event winner, this one in Top Dragster. Joining me now, J.B. Strasweg. J.B., welcome to WFO. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So what's with all the first-time winners this week?
Man, I don't know. A pretty cool trend, though. I'll take being the third one. That's pretty neat.
Top Dragster, such a cool category. I like it because I'm a bracket racer by nature. I understand taking unequal machines and running them together and letting the driver decide who is best, as opposed to, obviously, the all-out nature of, like, Top Fuel or Pro Stock. But these Top Dragsters are getting so quick these days, JB. You won it from the number 23 qualifying position. That's got to be pretty tough.
Yeah, it can be. You know, Division Three is getting ridiculous, really, Joe. It gets about 600 to 800s faster every year, and it's not only a constant challenge to make your car quicker, but also to keep it consistent and to try to win from the back.
So you had won a divisional race in the past. The National Wally had eluded you. Before we get into your round by round and whatnot, just explain to our audience out there who maybe is unfamiliar with Top Dragster, the name of the game, what you're doing. We interview the Mellow Yellow Series racers each week, very often Pro Modified or the Lucas Oil Alcohol classes, where getting to the finish line first is the goal. You do it a little bit different. You got to get to the finish line first without running under your dial-in.
That's absolutely correct. We are allowed to select a dial-in that is not faster than 6 seconds in the quarter mile. Typically, in this part of the country, if you can't run 670, you're probably not going to be there on race day. That makes the category really exciting. I think in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken, all of the players were above 200 mile an hour as well. So that really makes up for an exciting event.
Absolutely. Let me see. The number 32 qualifier, everyone is hovering right around 200 miles per hour. With the number one qualifier going 234 miles an hour with a 605, that's Richard Edwards. Did you ever think, as a drag racer, drag racing fan, that there would be sportsman-style bracket racing at 230 miles per hour?
Gosh, no. I mean, I've been in the sport 26 years and started back on the 8th mile tracks, and I ran Super Gas, and I run Super Comp, and a little bit of Comp Eliminator. It was modified back when I ran it. And I never thought that the sport would evolve to this, especially bracket racing, not to mention the cars are so good. So it's neat to be a part of it.
In the first round of racing, you had to go up against Joe Hessling. You had a 27 reaction time and one on a double breakout.
Yeah. Yeah, we qualified during the day for the most part. We had a couple of early, I think one of our sessions was an early evening session, and then we went right into eliminations, and it was racing in the dark, and it presents a whole other set of challenges, but especially when, you know, I'm at 205 and Joe's at 220 something, I don't see him until the last minute. So as the air got cooler, we sat there and I thought, well, I watched the round of Top Sportsmen in front of me and thought, okay, The car's probably a little quick, hundredth, maybe two if I'm lucky. Just typically the best strategy at that point is set up fairly honest and don't get there. And that's exactly what I did. I let Joe around me, and he took the stripe, and my wind light came on. Lucky me.
That whole aspect of the racing, as one of the announcers at many events, it is my challenge to try to explain to the listeners out there about the strategy, what you just said, which really reveals the interesting aspect, other than you've got fast cars going on out there, and they're very cool and they're fast, but it's a chess match against your other racer.
Absolutely. It requires a high degree of thinking in a real short period of time, Joe.
I can imagine. Second round, you had to go up against Dan Phelps. You had a 12 reaction time to his 24, so you had 12 thou in the pocket. You were two over. He was one over, so a whole shot victory, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of like that. It was that was another interesting round because Dan, I know Dan well, and he's a customer of ours, and Dan out-qualified me. He's I went up to the staging lanes a little late because we also had two top sportsman cars in at the time, which I helped with, and I fully expected to be getting chased again. And when he told me what his dialing was, it threw me for a loop for a second. And I thought, okay, well, I know what this picture's supposed to look like. You just do your job, and everything should work out right, and it did.
J.B. Strassweg is with us here on WFO Radio, drives the DragstersForSale.com, Dragster and Top Dragster, has also run Supercomp. DragstersForSale.com, is that your primary venture, or do you do other things as well?
Oh, no, that's one of several businesses that we own. My day job, if you want to call it that, is we own an RV dealership.
Oh, very good. That's pretty important if you're going to be a sportsman racer out there these days.
A lot of guys staying in them, absolutely.
Semifinals, you had to go up against Larry Piper. 008 reaction time, dead on 5. Tough to deal with.
That's hard to get in on 13, that's for sure. Larry's a good racer. I mean, anytime you roll up on the staging lanes and the guy's got two digits on his scoop, it causes a little cause for concern, but I was feeling pretty good by that time. My lights had been consistent for the last 3 races I've been to. I've really been working on reaction time, and it's starting to show. And if I typically when I get to that point, I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty confident, and I'm driving pretty aggressively, and I think it showed that round.
So now you're getting ready for the final round. You're going to go up against Phillip Oakley, and you know that you're going for your first national event, Wally. Was that thought a help or a hindrance as you are going through your process, knowing that if I can just win this round, I will have achieved a goal that I have been after for a long time?
Well, I didn't dwell on it. I don't let it occupy my mind because at that point things are moving really quick and you've got all you can handle just making sure that the car's ready to go and that you're ready to go. So I'm not going to say I didn't think about it because it did cross my mind, but at the time the only thing I wanted to make sure that I did was set myself up, that I executed my plan according to Hoyle. Now, Phillip, I've got to tell you, great personal friend of mine, sponsors our engine program. Phillip is my engine program. Oakley Motorsports provides our engines, and they provide, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best combinations out there for the nitrous guys. I've known Phillip for years. I had a semifinal match with Phillip at the national event the week before in Columbus, Ohio. Lost by a thousandth on a breakout, so I knew what to expect. I knew Phillip would be an extremely tough competitor, and I caught a lucky break when his wide open throttle switch moved. But I would have liked to have raced him, but I think the outcome probably would have been the same.
He had a 005 reaction time, but as you mentioned, went 688. And you went 660 on a 655. That's an interesting moment, though. He was a little bit quicker than you in terms of dialing. I often wonder when you're tucked down in that roll cage and you can't see if they're coming. We've seen really great drivers run out the back door and break out. At what point do you decide to roll off the throttle when you're not sure where the other guy is, if he's broken?
Interesting observation, Joe. I had exactly that happen to me a couple years ago at the Norwalk National event and got beat by a thousandth of a second because I got off too early. So I tell you how the race went. I let go of the trans brake button and let the car leave, and I thought, well, I hit the tree pretty good, and I looked down at the end of the scoreboards, and I thought, I don't see any wind lights. Phillip must have too. The race is on. I thought, about that time, I'm getting close to the eighth mile, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're 400s apart. I look to my left, and I'm thinking, he should be right here, and he's not. He's nowhere to be found. So I thought, okay, this all transpires in a matter of seconds. You're a bracket racer. You know how this works. I thought, drive it to 1,200 feet and just let off the throttle easily. Give it a little bit of brake pedal. Be two or three above your dial in, and everything will work out just fine, and that's exactly what I did.
I love hearing how the brain, the human mind, can compress paragraphs of thought that would be in words into fractions of seconds while accelerating to over 200 miles per hour. It's incredible.
It really is, isn't it?
It really is. So the wind light comes on. You've won. You didn't break out. You did it. You've done it. And you're going to hoist the Wally. What was it like then, JB? Pressure let off? Goals accomplished? Did you guys just go wild?
The best term I can think of to tell you was the biggest adrenaline dump I think I've ever experienced in my life. The wind light came on, and I looked at it, and I thought, holy crap, what did I just do? I think I just won a national event, and my crew is going crazy on the radio, and I can hear them in my ear, and I'm celebrating in the car. And if you watch the video, you see my chute's a little late coming out because I forgot to throw it. I thought, well, okay, probably need to get the car stopped and see how this all works out down here at the end of the racetrack. It was a really neat experience. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. When is your next race?
The next time we're going to run the Top Dragster is probably going to be next year. I have an opportunity to go to Reynolds, Georgia, and maybe better my position in the division. We're kind of kicking that around and talking about it, unsure yet. But if I don't go to that race, then the next race will probably be sometime in March. We may go to may open at Gainesville, the national event.
Oh, very good, very good. My home national event, even though it's 5 hours north of me, it is still my home national event. JB, great speaking with you. Great sharing your victory with us. Top Dragster is one of the classes that when they roll up, it's like these cars anywhere other than an NHRA national event will be the coolest things on the planet to 90% of the people that see them. They're obviously very quick, and I know the drivers are investing a lot of time, money, and resources into it. So I'm real happy to have you on the show after your first victory, and I will be watching for your name in the future. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. I appreciate everything. And if you don't mind, I'd really need to thank VP Race Fuels, Canon Filters, Lucas Oil, Quick Fuel, and Simpson, as well as Oakley Motorsports, Hoosier Race Pack, Moroso, and Jags. They make all this possible for us.
JB, congratulations. Thanks for coming on WFO Radio.
Thanks again, Joe. Hope to talk to you soon.
JB Strassweg with us here on WFO Radio, top dragster winner at the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals down there at Gateway. And that completes the triple shot. It's a Triple Shot Tuesday on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Triple Shot first-time national event winners. Jerry Savoie, Mike Knowles, JB Strassweg completing the Triple Shot. Oh, by the way, very, very quick and fast race cars battling it out there at Gateway. So many racers around the country, I really wish... We focus heavily on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, of course, because they are on television. They are the most well-known. They are the biggest personalities going the fastest in many cases. But as you can tell by JB, a very savvy speaker, communicator who happens to be a racer, was able to compress his entire run into a few seconds of very clear, concise communication right there, which I think is great. I hope to have him on again in the future. And of course, dragstersforsale.com, the sponsor on the side of that machine. All right, when we come back, it is going to be an encore presentation of John Force and Robert Height from our Ignition show last week for you NHRA Nitro listeners. We got the opportunity to get Robert and John on the line at the same time, so I was able to ask them questions about one another. I asked John about the first time he remembers meeting Robert Height. I ask Robert about the same situation, and they talk about how you listeners out there can get an opportunity to get some tickets to see NHRA. It's worth the price of admission. Free. Check it out when we come back, and then at the tail end, I'll tell you a little bit, just a little, about my bracket racing experience this past weekend at the Miami Hollywood Motorsports Park reunion race at PBIR. Me bracket racing for the first time in 5 years in my actual race car, that not including the track championship I won 2 years ago. It's important to mention that I did win that track championship. We'll be back after this right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR tailgate party pick show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Final segment of the show this week. What a show it has been. We had Alan Reinhart to start us off, Courtney Force after her back-to-back victory, Antron Brown, Dave Connolly, then the trifecta of first-time winners, Jerry Savoie, Mike Knowles, Pro Modified winner, J.B. Strasweg, top dragster, and now an encore presentation. The 16-time NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion, John Force, and Robert Height joined me last week on WFO Radio Ignition to talk about a great promotion going on from Goodyear and TireRack.com, a way for you, the race fan, to get some tickets to an NHRA race in the future if you purchase tires. I asked them a bunch of great questions. I feel like they were pretty good. Probing inside questions about one another, about their race teams. This was last Wednesday, and you're getting an opportunity to hear an encore presentation, John Force and Robert Height. We've got something special going on for the WFO Radio audience now, and if you hear me out at the NHRA National Events, we're always promoting this great promotion going on from the folks at Goodyear and Tire Rack, a great way to get NHRA tickets by going to GoodyearTicketOffer.com, and you register to win, but you got to do it before Halloween. Now, here to talk more about it. You probably have heard of these guys. You might have heard of them once or twice before in the past. Joining us now, 16-time NHRA Funny Car Champ and Funny Car Champ, Robert Height and John Force, joining us now. Guys, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Joe, thanks for having us on. We're fighting this battle. Right now, I got a little bit of a lead, Robert, on my bumper, Hagen, and then Courtney. But I'll be honest, Robert, he's growling every day, wanting every round he can get. And after last week's interview, they tell me I'm frothing at the mouth.
You were frothing.
I don't know what happened. When I got that big old red light against Hagen, I ain't been the same. Came back the next day, went some rounds, but doing okay.
And Robert, you guys, the team, you put together a team with three great cars, and of course you're going to run into each other, and that seems to be what is happening. You guys are meeting up on the ladder.
Yeah, we are. Courtney and I raced second round, and she got the best of me. But truthfully, her car is running better than mine right now. And my team's back in Indy right now, putting back together the car that I ran early in the year that I won all the races with. So we're going to hit them hard the last four races. Courtney's doing a good job, number one qualifier, and won the race. That's hard to do. And, you know, we have three cars in the top four, so really doesn't get much better. But Hagen and Caps and Worsham came alive last week. The next four races for the fans are going to be very exciting.
The idea of getting some tickets to go see an NHRA race at some point is a big deal as well. You guys obviously run Goodyear tires. The folks at Goodyear setting up this interview. So I want all of my listeners to know that they can go to GoodyearTicketOffer.com, GoodyearTicketOffer.com, and you fill out the program. And if you buy four select Goodyear tires from TireRack.com, you can get tickets to an NHRA Mellow Yellow Series event or even a $50 mail-in rebate. So that's a pretty good deal, guys. But you don't get that when you buy your Goodyear Racing Slicks, I don't think.
This promotion goes through Halloween, October 31st. But what I really like about it, I mean, Tire Rack, a great company. Naturally, Goodyear, I've won every championship in a 35 or longer career on Goodyear tires. And naturally, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series, it's a family show. But what's unique is not just selling tires with Goodyear Tire Rack. It's putting maybe new faces in the stands. Young families, young kids getting a car. Hell, just a month ago, I bought four new Goodyears for my pickup truck, my Ford. And it was kind of, I wished I would have known that I could have got some free tickets to the races. I could have gave them to a friend. I could have done something. So it's kind of giving back. I think it's a great idea. And it's going to be fun.
GoodyearTicketOffer.com. Everyone on WFO, you need to go to the website and register. If you get four select Goodyear tires from TireRack.com, you can get tickets to an upcoming NHRA Mellow Yellow Series drag race. You got to do it before Halloween, though. So you still got a little bit of time, but get it done. All right. I think the audience now knows. They're all opening a browser as we speak, going to GoodyearTicketOffer.com. Since I've got the both of you on the phone line, this is a very rare opportunity, and I think it's very cool. First and second in the current points. Courtney is fourth. Robert, when you look at John there, John has obviously been a mentor. What would you say is the greatest thing you have learned from John Force, your father-in-law, someone who at the track has been a mentor, but I'm sure at many other levels as well?
Well, it's how much dedication it takes to win. You know, you have to live this job. It's 24/7. You have to be constantly thinking about racing and the business and the fans. It's all a big package, and nobody does that better than John Force. And you know, he's still the guy. Somebody going to win this 2014 championship, they're going to have to go through John Force. And you know, I'm pretty happy. We've struggled the first two races of the countdown, but we've really only lost 15 points from how the points were reset. So we have a chance to redeem ourselves. I'm just proud that all three of our Ford Mustangs are right up there where they need to be, and that's what's going to be fun, is if it could come down to the three of us fighting it out for a championship like Ashley and I did in 2009.
You guys have
one thing we don't forget is we're a family. We all share the money. And we share the glory, and somebody takes a trophy home. Hopefully an NHRA championship trophy, but there's a bunch of other guys out there. Matt Hagen, Ron Capps, Wilkerson, Cruz Petragon. We're all fighting for that same dream. But if you stay a family and you work together, and I believe in drag racing, just like the families that are in the stands. It's a family affair at NHRA race. I believe we might get mad at another driver on the start line. We might get aggravated, whatever, because you want to win. But if you ever look out that window and you see him on fire, the first thing you start praying is that that kid in that other car is going to be okay, because we know each other. We've been to the burn centers. We've seen it all. And I think that's what I really love about our sport of drag racing. So, hey, buy some of those free tires, and not free tires, buy some of those tires, get those free tickets, and come meet the drivers and all the drivers of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
GoodyearTicketOffer.com. With us, John Force and Robert Height. John, you mentioned this being a family sport. You have a family team within a family sport, so much so that your son-in-law drives for you. Can you tell me about the first time you met Robert Height? Do you remember that moment when you first met this guy who became president of your company, who married your daughter, who became a champion under you, who became an integral part of you winning your 16th championship? Do you remember when you first set eyes on this guy?
I think he was actually, I might have passed him at the track, but I always remember him because he always wears an L.A. Dodgers hat. He's a big fan of the Dodgers. I met him at the races. I think he was driving with Roger Prim, or working with Roger Prim, driving an 18-wheeler, working on the car. And you also was with the young Warsham was just starting.
He drove that car.
He drove that car. And it was just a kid at the races. And one day, Bernie Federley was talking to me and Austin Coyle and said, you ought to meet this Robert Height. He's just the greatest guy. He ain't full of it like you, Force, what he says. In a few words, you can trust. And we tried to hire him, and at that time, he was with Tommy Johnson and his team, and he was going to come, but he was so loyal to them. It's what I loved about him. We couldn't get him to come. No matter what we offered money, he said, it's not about money. It's about, yeah, I'd like to be there, you know, a race team, and I don't know where I stand over here for sure, long range. But he said, you know, Tommy Johnson, these guys are all my friends, and he just kind of wouldn't come. He went to the airport once, and he wasn't there. And my guy said, what happened? Loyal to his team. I said, I've got to have that guy. And he came here. Of course, the rest was history. Austin Coyle taught him the ropes, him and Bernie, how to build a fuel funny car. He can do everything on a car, and that's why I knew he can drive a race car. And when we got that opportunity, we put him in the seat. He was a professional. He could have gone to the Olympics and been a professional trap shooter, but he chose to go drag racing, put him in the seat, right out of the box, kills everybody on the lights, including me, because he had that eye like a target shooter. And he's even helped me train the way that they train shooters with special stuff and videos and stuff to help me. So letting out our secrets. But anyway, well, Hagen does pretty good without him. Okay, but at the end of the day, he's president of the company because he's learned the business from the bottom up. He knows the financial, and he knows how to win, and he knows the way that I built this team to win 18 championships, and he's part of that. So he's a champion, and I love having him here.
GoodyearTicketOffer.com. The folks at Goodyear and Tire Rack bringing you John Force and Robert Height with us here on WFO Radio. Take him up on the offer, folks. Robert, from your perspective, young Robert Height, John Force is coming to you. You love drag racing. You're out there in California. You're living the dream. What was it like from your experience being, courted by this man who at the time hadn't won 16 championships, but was still an icon in the sport and clearly a big personality?
Yeah, John was dominating back then, the funny cars, and it was a dream come true to get a chance to work on this team, you know, from learning from John and Austin Coyle and Bernie Federley. You know, honestly, back then, I never dreamed I'd get a chance to drive. It's what I always wanted to do, but never thought it happened. So, love the sport of NHRA drag racing. I wanted to be around it. And the next best thing is working on these cars and learning from the best with Austin and Bernie. And fortunately enough, John gave me the shot to drive, too. So, and I got a great family, you know, in the mix of all this.
Take a look at, you can go to Tire Rack, changing channels here, go to TireRack.com and learn about this promotion, or you can go to NHRA.com, or naturally, it's a GoodyearTicketOffer.com. So I know you've been giving it all, but that's why we're here, to take care of a company, Tire Rack, to take care of Goodyear, because they've taken care of us for so many years. Check it out, guys and gals.
The deadline, October 31st. You still got some time. Final question, guys. Obviously, John Force Racing, dominant pretty much all season long. Many, many final rounds. John had a personal final round streak broken. You had a team final round streak broken earlier in the year. Then it got going again. Courtney making the final round. Success is there for you guys to win the title, but everyone thinking about the sponsor side of it. The season getting close to the finish now. People waiting. Will there be an announcement in terms of manufacturer? Will there be another announcement in terms of sponsorship? What can we expect as far as timeline goes? And do you guys plan to announce anything big like a manufacturer or major primary before the season concludes?
We're hoping by SEMA we can announce something. You know, I've made it clear to everybody, if somebody's got a race, I've got two cars and I lost a manufacturer. We're talking to a number of manufacturers. We're in a tough economy, guys, right now. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. I was hit. Right now, Castrol's talking with us. They've got a big investment with us. Peak Antifreeze has come on board. But right now, artwork, drawings, cars, we're hoping by SEMA. But my daughter, Brittany, will race. Robert's got a five-year deal with Auto Club. Courtney has a deal with Traxxas for three more years. My priority is, number one, I love the sport. I love the drive. I love the fans. I owe it to the sport of NHRA to be here. They made me who I am today. They made me financially stable with my sponsors, and I owe the fans. So one way or the other, we're going to be here. But my daughter, Brittany, will be in that top fuel car. Maybe we'll have to slide her over into a funny car. I don't know. But I want to race, and as long as I can do the job, I'm going to be there, and I can do the job. I'm still good at what I do. The day I can't, that's when I'll get out of the seat. If I don't get the money, might have to miss some races, but I'm going to keep going until I get myself back in business.
John, Don the Snake Prudhomme had the final strike tour. All the greats, the legends, they go around one last time, no matter what, selling apparel, gear, giving their fans a chance in every market to say goodbye, to come up, take a photo. The final strike tour was one that I remember. I know you're a fan of the Snake back in the day. You lived those things. Is there any way that whenever it happens 5, 10 years from now, whenever the day is that that comes, that you make that decision, that you would walk away without doing a final John Force tour?
Everybody has to do it their own way. Bernstein, Prudhomme, all the greats that I've known, God bless them. They built this sport, and I came along behind them and trying to build it for my kids, for the future, and my family, and for the fans. I'm not a guy. I'm not good at goodbyes. I'm not going to go out that way. I don't even like talking about it now. I always said I'll probably have a heart attack at the race, and that'll be the end of it. But keep selling those T-shirts. But what I'm saying is, for me, the end ain't going to come. I'm not going to walk away. I don't need a final goodbye. I've got race teams. I've got to go on with my kids till I'm 100. Robert's going to be here driving. Brittany, Courtney, Ashley may come back. I don't need a final strike. I don't need a final tour. I'll sell them T-shirts one way or the other. They did it their way. My way is to evolve into a team owner. Of course, I'm still going to want to drive. And I could be a test pilot for the team and test to give the drivers a break. Nobody knows the funny car better than me. I've been doing it the longest. I've got the most laps. Probably get out at the racetrack at the end of a good run and jump the fence and just get on a train and disappear and go have another life. But probably not. I'm going to be here with the fans till the end.
Gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio. Best of luck in the remainder of the countdown. Four races remaining for the NHRA fans to watch you guys decide this championship among yourselves, among the DSR and Coletta teams. We are thrilled. Cruz as well. Hey, Robert, why don't you give us that information one more time? The WFO Radio listeners around the world who maybe need four tires and they're getting ready to purchase right now and they're thinking, well, why not do this?
Between now and October 31st, any fan that goes to TireRack.com or just rolls into a Tire Rack, and you can get, if you buy four select tickets, You get two free tickets to an NHRA race in 2015. Get to come out and see what kind of abuse we give a Goodyear tire with our 10,000 horsepower machines. And that right there will sell you on those Goodyears. You'll want to have them because we wouldn't want to be on anything else.
Yeah, buy four select tires and you get the tickets, right, Robert?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty exciting deal, but it'll also put new faces in the stands. The youth of today that are just getting their new cars or their used car, pretty exciting stuff.
Absolutely it is. It's great to hear you guys talk about it. I know you got a race in St. Louis and then Reading and then a little while off before Vegas and Pomona, but we will all be watching and we look forward to watching how it all plays out. Thank you very much for taking the time for us here on WFO Radio, getting you guys together. It has been special. I greatly appreciate it.
Hey, Joe, I want to say this, and this ain't sucking up. I enjoy your show. I enjoy the work that you do, and I know some of the things that we do sometimes you try to cover for us and protect us, but we enjoy your show. Do it the way you do it, and we'll be celebrating you down the road.
Thank you very much for saying that, John. I greatly appreciate it, and I wouldn't have anything to talk about if you guys didn't put on a great show, and so thank you for giving me material. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
That was John Force and Robert Height on WFO Radio Ignition last Wednesday, and a great, great job by the guys. Of course, TireRack.com and Goodyear putting together an excellent promotion. But I love hearing John, and a huge thanks to John for the nice comments about WFO Radio and our show. If you're a first-time listener, I think you should subscribe right now based on those comments. I think you should click subscribe, download the app. It's free for iOS and Android, iPad. You can also follow on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow all of our social media accounts. And most importantly, let your friends know about the show, because John likes it, clearly. So there you have it. I thought it was great having him on, though. I liked hearing Robert talk about John and John talk about Robert with them face-to-face. I thought that was very cool. And knowing that that was a precursor to a weekend where Courtney goes out, wins back-to-back races, defeats John, cuts into his points lead, and suddenly there is a dynamic building about Courtney versus John for the championship. It may come down to that. It may come down to John destroying his daughter's hopes to become an NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car champion so that he can win number 17 at the near the end of his career. Who knows? Or vice versa. Courtney winning her first over her father, who is the defending champion. Those are all great stories. That's what people dream of when writing the script of life when it comes to NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And Robert, he's not out of it by any means. As I said earlier about Top Fuel, if you control your own destiny and win the next three races, you're going to have a really good shot at the title. That's all you got to do. It's just that's really, really hard right now. Nearly impossible. But big thanks to John and Robert. Big thanks to everyone who joined us on the show. Courtney, Alan Reinhart, Antron, Dave Connolly, Jerry Savoie was great. Mike Knowles was great. JB Strasweg, top dragster driver, had the clearest phone line of everybody and was very motivational as well. I love hearing racers speak. Highly motivational. What a great show we have put together. But I did mention that I went racing this past weekend. For those that don't know, if you're a first-time listener, you're new to this show, I got into this because I like racing, too. I started out as a track announcer at a drag strip in Miami called Miami Dragway. Miami Dragway, it was Miami Hollywood Speedway, it was Miami Hollywood Speedway Park, it was Miami Hollywood Motorsports Park. There were two tracks. There was one in Miami, basically 15 minutes from where the WFO radio studios are right now, and then Moroso Motorsports Park, which is now PBIR. In West Palm Beach, where the Pro Winter warm-up takes place. Well, from 1966 to 1992, Miami Dragway was the spot in South Florida. It was a fantastic facility. They even had four-wide drag racing there in the 60s and 70s. So it was a tremendous facility for the time. In fact, if you compared it to other facilities of that era, it was probably head and shoulders above the rest. It had a road course. It had a high-banked Bristol-style quarter-mile oval. It had many different avenues to go racing. But, of course, drag racing was most dominant, and the track was very good through the 70s and 80s. There was a wild period. You hear about the Bill Doner, OCIR, California stuff that was going on, the wildness. Well, we had our own version in Miami. You can go back and hear Daryl Gwynn in our archive talk about it. Well, this past weekend was the second annual reunion race, Miami Hollywood Speedway reunion race, held at PBIR, Palm Beach International Raceway, which is where the pro winter warm-up nitro test happens at the beginning of every season. So now you understand where it was. Miami Hollywood Motorsports Park is where I first learned to race. It is where I first announced. It's where I won my first track championship and where I spent really every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday of my 16 to 20-something-year-old life. In 1992, it was closed down. The land was too valuable, and they sold it. And they built houses on it and a movie theater. And many of the racers that used to go there kind of quit. They kind of quit racing. They kind of said, you know, if I live in Miami, the tow up to West Palm Beach is just a little too long, maybe 2 hours. And the soul of the place, the fact that it was just a short 15, 20-minute drive, the venue, the facility, the attitude, all of it was just different. And some people lost their hunger to go racing. They found other things to do. This is South Florida. We have beaches. We have girls in bikinis. We have fishing. We have the Keys. We got Jimmy Buffett music. There's just a million things to do in beautiful, sunny South Florida. Just go look at a Dolphin game. They're not sold out. It takes big things to get anybody to do anything down here, because having a barbecue with your friends in your backyard is wildly entertaining. So over the past couple of years, some of the racers have been putting together like a reunion car show, and then last year was a reunion race. But this year they moved it to PBIR, and I thought to myself, all right, I got to get in on it. So for the past 6 months, I've been working on our 1978 Pontiac Trans Am, the car that I had won a Super Pro Track Championship with, the car I finished 11th overall at the five-day bracket race with, and it was a time capsule from 2007. If you go back into the archive on WFO Radio, you can find the Joe Goes Bracket Racing audio clip the last time I had raced the car, where I made it to the final round. Since then, the car has just been occasionally turned over in the garage and has, I don't want to say fallen to pieces, but certainly into disrepair. So we've been working on getting it going, new brakes, new brake lines, all of the associated things as much as we can to make the race. This past weekend was the race. Went out Friday night, did some test and tuning. Saturday was the Miami Hollywood Motorsports Park reunion race at PBIR. We're going to talk all about it on WFO Radio Ignition. I got to come up with some way to get the NHRA fans listening to Ignition, right? A lot of people think that show is even more fun. So we're going to talk about it on there, me and Giovanni in Miami, and we're going to go in detail as to what went down, how it went down, and all of that. If you follow all my social media stuff, you probably saw some photographs and maybe got an idea or two about what happened. But great show. Thanks to everyone who participated. Of course, the encore of John and Robert was great. J.B. Strasweg, first win ever in Top Dragster at a national. Huge. Mike Knowles, first Pro Modified win. Huge. Jerry Savoie, Pro Stock Motorcycle win, hashtag NHRA PSM, huge. Dave Connolly, Antron Brown, Courtney Force, Alan Reinhardt, all on this edition of WFO Radio. If you haven't subscribed by now, I don't know why. It's the kind of thing you want to listen to every week, right through the off season. I know, there's only three races left. Can you believe that? Three races left. We want you right through the off season. We got to keep it rolling. Through the off season, you need to be entertained. We're here to do it. That is going to do it. We'll see you on WFO Radio Ignition Wednesday night, 8 p.m., or maybe even a little earlier because I travel on Wednesday. Headed up to Reading, Pennsylvania. If you are a WFO Radio listener, you are going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania at Maple Grove for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Nationals. Tweet at me. We're going to do a tweet up. We're going to meet up with a bunch of WFO Radio listeners. If you're out there, if you see me going by, holler WFO. And we'll stop. It's going to be great out there. I can't wait to experience it. And it's my final national of the 2014 season. So I'm going to be all emotional as well. I'm going to be like the great Derek Jeter. I'm going to try to get a game-winning RBI to bring it one time. That's going to do it. Thanks again to Alan Reinhardt, Courtney Kors, Antron Brown, Dave Connolly, Jerry Savoie, Mike Knoll, J.B. Strassway, Robert and John Encore Style, right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.